This is PFW in progress.
Oh, I love your suits. It must be a bitch getting a size 68 extra fat and a 12 dwarf.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Universal presents Burt Reynolds, Sally Field, Jerry Reed, and Fred
Paul Perillo.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why do you want that beer so bad?
Because he's thirsty, dummy.
And Andy. And Andy?
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
Andy Hart.
I saw it, you son of a bitch! I gotta barbecue your ass in molasses!
Some guy named Tom.
Jeff, do the letters F-O mean anything to you?
PFW in progress.
We're on our way to Boston to get some clam chowder.
All right, welcome to PFW Progress. That's my Smokey and the Bandit voice. Fred's here, Andy's here, Gary's behind the booth, Paul's going to big time us on the big show, and Tom probably might come down a little later.
I don't know, he's got work to do. So.
He's got work
usually
to do.
He comes down because he likes to hear his own voice, but...
He's got work to do, huh?
Well, we do, you know, put out a paper here, we try to keep up with that a little bit.
Okay, well... Tom said we had a good show last night on Neckin.
That's the word on the street. Good show.
Yeah. Don't ever say that again, or I'm going to stick this inside you.
All right, well, PFW in progress. We're holding down the fort. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. I'd like to hear from you if you have never called or emailed. Not that
we like our regular
not
listeners
that we don't
emailers
like our regulars.
To step aside
no,
for a day.
No, we don't want to step aside, but I would like to hear from some new people.
he's not new.
No. But
No.
Lot to talk about, obviously. We got the Bills coming up. We're still glowing in the aftermath of the I'd say, I don't know what you call it, bring it out behind the woodshed game. That's what we did to the Chargers. And of course the aftermath of Spygate or whatever you want to call that.
Aftermath?
Yeah, I guess it's still,
still going on. I mean, the league now and where the tape came from, which you...
Hey, let me tell you, see, I told you that, right? It did not come from the competition committee because they didn't get the tape. It came from the Jets.
Okay, I wasn't sure if we had this conversation on the air or not. That's why I didn't say that right then, but okay.
It came from the Jets. Yes, it did.
And you are willing to say that definitively.
Yes.
I think that okay. If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best.
So how did that occur? Because
league asked them to make copies of it.
Huh? The league asked the Jets to make copies of it?
Before they that day.
I thought it was supposed to have been put in a sealed box and shipped to the league.
Well, eventually it was.
I'm excited to be a head coach.
You know, did you happen to read the New York Times article today about Eric Mangini?
No.
Things aren't so good
no,
for Eric right now.
It's turned on him. No question.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little ridiculous. He's a rat. There's no question he's a rat.
It's not like the article was flattering of Belichick.
Right.
But they were painting Mangini in the same light, plus being a rat. So,
I got no problem with that.
Hello.
Because yeah. I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of head football coaches aren't great guys. I think it's sort of the nature of the beast.
You got to have a huge ego.
You have to have a huge ego. You have to be competitive to the nth degree.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sort of set aside any other desires, hopes, interests in life. It's sort of tunnel vision to the winning at that level.
I forget who wrote it, but you know we're talking about... Okay, taping the sidelines. This is a league that also guys' mothers die, and they're playing football
right.
2 days later.
Right.
You know, guys have babies, and they're not even there
or
for it.
Coaches' fathers die, and they don't tell anyone until afterwards and leave for a little, Bill went through it here.
This is the kind of league that we're in. So
Larry Izzo?
You know, coaching, videotaping a sideline shouldn't really be that shocking.
And, I mean, I think in some level it has to be. It's not a game that you... show up for and just play. I mean, I think basketball, baseball, I think to some degree you can show up and play most times and put together an okay performance. I think football, if you're not 100% committed to that day, that play, that hit, then you're in trouble.
Both on an individual and team basis.
Right, right.
You know, it's a
but that doesn't excuse the breaking of rules and all those things either.
I was with a bunch of alumni, Patriots alumni on Friday because we did something for the upcoming museum, which the fans are going to love, but that's a side note. But I was talking, John Hanna was there, and I was talking about why this museum is so special, why Hall of Fames are so special. Football is really the only sport that a guy can get into his Hall of Fame without stats.
This is John Hanna.
you know, you got a guy like an offensive lineman like Hannah, you know, unless you're counting pancake blocks, which aren't an official stat, or he doesn't have stats, but what he contributes to the team effort gets him into the Hall of Fame. This is the only sport like that. That's why football is the greatest team sport ever created.
No question.
You know, and it just takes that, you know, mentality of all 53 guys. And if you don't have it, you know, it's the house divided thing. You cannot succeed. So,
but none of what we just said excuses cheating and breaking rules and
all
that.
No, but we shouldn't be that surprised about it.
No.
I mean, this whole...
It's a dirty business.
What are we going to tell our kids?
Yeah.
Download the podcast now.
Okay.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com. Andy, I've been busy, working on internet stuff today. Tell me what happened at Bill Belichick's press conference, and is the locker room open yet?
It's been open and closed.
Oh, because they were doing.
You really don't know what goes on anymore, do you?
I don't.
It's always right after the press conferences, Wednesday, Thursday,
Friday. No, but didn't they start moving open access to later?
Monday is the only day where it can be weird times.
Okay. So anyway, that's I pay you. Now you tell me what happened.
Bill, first of all, began his press conference by saying thoughts and prayers go out to Kevin Everett and his family. Who obviously, you know, that story was, had the hit and was paralyzed, was, you know, it was a, early on, it looked like he was a chance he could lose his life. And now I think by what his mother termed a miracle and some great medical work by the Bills doctors, and they took a chance with the experimental injecting him with the cold saline solution to bring his body core temperature down. He has made a lot of strides. I saw today, I think he's flying down to Houston. But, you know, the Patriots have a lot of guys from Miami who know of him, played with him, different things. So Bill started off by, you know, addressing that situation, then went into his normal, you know, what the challenges the Bills present defensively, very different from what they've faced. They got those guys, you know, some speed guys up front, Larry Triplett, Aaron Schobel, Dante Whitner, guys in the secondary are developing. Talked about Losman and the big plays on offense. And, you know, the only really legit thing he said was how good they are on special teams, because that's the only part of their game that has shown up yet. They've been terrible, both sides of the ball so far. They've fought tight with Denver, and then last week sort of got it handed to them a little bit by the Steelers. I thought one of the more interesting things is a guy brought up 16-0, perfect season. You know, is that something?
Somebody actually brought that up.
And Bill said, what they expect, it's ridiculous. Yeah, that's just ridiculous. We're just trying to go out there and have a practice today.
Right.
And it is ridiculous to bring it up.
We're just trying to find
I now think it's a legitimate possibility, but I certainly would not have asked a question of Bill Belichick in week three about going 16-0.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I think it is a legitimate possibility. I mean, it's unlikely, but if there was a season and a team to do it, this would be it. But I look at the slate of games this week, it's impossible to call them. There's some real tough choices, and that's because, except for the Colts and the Patriots, I don't know who's good yet.
Are we willing to say the Colts? I'm not sure yet.
Or I think they're pretty good.
I think their defense is terrible.
You keep saying that. I was completely impressed week one. Now, I didn't see their game this week.
I
was really impressed by their defense.
I wasn't. I watched them against Tennessee.
What wasn't impressive?
I see guys that I think they can be thrown on, and I think they can be run on. And to me, that's a bad defense.
Well.
We'll find out. You might see a big time shootout when these two teams get together.
I mean, maybe the Saints are really bad.
But I mean,
they
you
look
really
dominated.
Think the Colts? Yeah, the Saints, they look dominated against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers too.
Yeah.
Do you really think the Colts are anywhere near as balanced as the Patriots? The Patriots' offense has come forward by leaps and bounds. The Colts' defense hasn't.
Well, when you look at the Colts, they've got Reggie Wayne. They've got Marvin Harrison. They have Dallas Clark.
They've always
Joseph Addai,
good.
And they have Peyton Manning. They on offense, I think they are as balanced.
No, I'm talking about balanced as a team.
Oh, no, I think the Patriots...
Do they have Adalys Thomas? Do
no.
they have Mike Vrabel?
No.
Do they have Asante Samuel?
No.
Do they have Vince Wilfork, Ty Warren, or anybody
from any of those
guys?
Apparently they have Bob
Sanders,
and he does it
Bob
all.
Bob Sanders is phenomenal. Phenomenal. But by the time, the way he plays, he's going to miss a month at some point during the year.
No.
It could be the Patriots.
Right
month.
Now, as a team, I'd say the Patriots are more balanced.
This is the best team we've seen.
Although,
we've seen a team that's
they might win
Super
in special
Bowls.
Teams in the Patriots, because they have Adam Vinatieri.
Who was terrible last week.
I know, he had a bad...
Terrible.
Good, I'm glad you said that. Because if I said it, he'd be like, oh, you just wanted to
Well, he was
fail.
Terrible. Right. But he'll be fine in the dome. He's all...
What was that? You got stopped short by the phone?
Well, Gary just walked in with food.
Oh, my goodness.
We are going to weigh...
I think this is PJ.
We will be on... the offensive line by the end of the season.
PJ said he was going to buy food today, and he came through. So, Tom, if you're listening,
come down.
You might
we
want
have
to come
food,
down.
Or I'm going to eat your sub.
And
holy Moses, we're going to be the
fattest
guys
here.
In the world.
Paul's not here, so we're going to have a ton left over now.
That's true, because he usually eats most of it.
Right.
Gary will have some, though. Gary, you got to break your little diet today. Gary, break your diet today.
Just have a boneless buffalo wing, Gary.
Or five.
All right, so I think this is PJ, so I want to thank PJ.
PJ rules.
Much. PJ Naccarelli.
We love PJ.
Yep.
Not even just for the food.
Good
He's
stuff.
A great emailer. He's
Good
one
email.
Of our regulars who brings it.
Good email. So continuing on with what Belichick had to say, go
and
ahead.
There was some talk, different Patriots that were talked about, the past Tom Brady and the passing game. Even Paul asked a couple questions that
he Paul asked questions.
Yeah, he didn't really get answers about how quickly the passing games come together. Was first of all, he asked if he was surprised, and that kind of Bill said, "Well, I don't really have expectations." And but Brady was sort of the focal point of what he's done well so far, which is a lot because he's completing 81% of his passes through two games, which is
right.
kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Colvin was a guy I asked a follow-up. People were kind of questioned because he talked a lot about how he worked on his pass coverage last week.
Do you think if Brady continued on this pace, which no one's going to finish with 80%, but let's just say he finishes with 70% passing.
No
the,
chance.
The most yards in his career, touchdowns up with Peyton Manning. Do you think he would ever be an MVP or Offensive Player of the Year?
Oh, yeah.
You think that?
Yeah.
You don't think he would get knocked down because, oh, well, he's got Randy Moss now and he's got...
No, because I think he would actually get some credit for how consistent he was with A, B, and C, Doug Gabriel, Rishea Caldwell over the years, and then this would show, well, you upgrade his talent around him, and he's even better. So right. he's always been the consistent good player.
So it would be almost like an appreciation of what he's
yeah.
got up to this
point. I mean, I think he needs to be in that ballpark, he probably needs to have 40-something touchdowns, 4,000, you know, be in the 38 to 4,200 yards, something of that nature, but I do think he is definitely could be a candidate, but the problem is so would Moss. I mean, if it rolls, I mean, if they continue at this pace, Moss has ridiculous numbers, whatever. He's on pace for like 2,400 yards receiving or something ridiculous.
Right.
So, I mean, I think he would be a candidate as much as anyone.
I just get all tingly just thinking about this offense.
Would he be a candidate in your mind?
Who?
Moss.
Yes.
For comeback player of the year?
No.
Because what did he come back from?
Exactly.
His own pissiness
he
and
sulking. He came back from being a dog?
Right.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we've had arguments every single year about what comeback player is, what do you have to come back from and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, adversity.
I mean, his numbers, yeah. if you just look at his stat line, are going to drop down and then jump way back up.
Absolutely. Phone number 508-543-7482, and one person who knows that number is John in Palm Bay. John, how you doing?
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
Good.
What's up? Hey, I'd just like to make a comment and then ask you guys a quick question. My comment is I wish the Nancy Pantses, who are complaining that they can't believe the Patriots did this, get over it. Every team in the NFL cheats. It's not a good thing to do. I'm not saying that, but every team does it, so just get over it and just be glad we're winning.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that, you know, Goodell should probably go to great lengths from this point forward to make sure that teams don't do that, and I think that would help a guy like Bill Belichick, who just assumes everyone else is doing it. But it's really up to the league to clamp down on this. And until they do, teams are going to look for the edge. And, you know, the penalty on the Patriots and Bill Belichick was as much a statement to the rest of the league as it was to the Patriots. It's like, you know, we're going to get serious about this now. You know, we've had... Go ahead.
And my question is, I live in Florida, so obviously I don't get as many links, but... is there any way you guys put links on their website for like guys like Mike Felger and other people that you guys mention a lot in the show? Because I never can find them on the web.
We do.
Are you talking about audio or written?
No, just columns or whatever they, you know. Have
yeah, if they're writing about the Patriots, Eric Scalavino does a daily thing called The Blitz, and he'll link to the stories, the local stories written, you know, by the local guys. So. You should find it in the latest news, and it's today's Blitz.
Yes.
And within that, there's links to the columns written about the Patriots.
And
today.
That's Globe, Herald, Providence Journal, you know, all the local papers and stories.
Right.
And there's also, is there any way like you guys could have, like, you know, how you guys do the pick'em section that the fans could make their selections known and, like, just kind of get involved, too?
Well, there is a picks contest on Patriots.com, right, Fred?
PFW picks.
Right.
Right.
Where you make your weekly selections. I don't know if it's too late to join that or not for week three, but there is a picks contest on the website.
You can also find it at www.pfwonline.com. I believe that there's a link to that contest.
So check it out, John.
PFWonline.com. That's John in Palm Bay.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for the call.
We I kind of forgot to talk about a little piece of news.
Actually, oh, Bubba Ventrone's back on the team. Did you know that?
Yes, I did, but that wasn't what I was going to talk about because I find that, you know, somewhat irrelevant.
Andy said news.
Oh. The Boston Herald reporting this morning that, you didn't read clips?
I haven't yet, no.
Rodney Harrison.
Oh, I did read that.
First purchased his HGH January 04.
Before the Titans playoff game.
Pittsburgh knee injury, pre-shoulder injuries, all that. Post-San Diego injuries. You know, nowhere in his statement did he say, I took this for the knee injury I suffered against the Steelers. Right. I think people sort of assume that's what he meant. He said from injuries suffered in playing football.
Right.
I'm sure he's had other injuries other than ones that are just
but
here.
So has everybody else.
No, I know. I'm not excusing, but I'm just saying I think people latched on to injuries here when he had injuries earlier. In fact, that's why he was an ex-Charger, because right. He had that groin injury that they thought he was done.
Right.
So
you're technically, he may not have been lying,
but
I think people
assume bottom
that,
line is,
yeah.
And the other two other aspects. I don't know if you saw the Globe did a big feature on HGH yesterday in the health and science section, which I thought was a piece of garbage personally.
Really?
Yeah. He basically said it does nothing for anyone. There's like a 1% of the population that it could help do a couple little things, which I think is ridiculous. The one aspect that I found them to be credible is at least they admitted in like the last paragraph that people thought the same thing about anabolic steroids when they first came out. All the medical research said, oh, they don't really do anything for you. And it took them years to catch up to bodybuilders and athletes who knew from a fact that it did do something for them.
Right.
So I think this is another case of that where it does help athletes, especially aging athletes, injured athletes. And at some point, the research will catch up to that. But the other issue is a Missouri-based pharmacy that has been busted and is cooperating with investigators and all that crap has said that one of their clients was a well-known Boston athlete. So doesn't mean Patriots. Could be Patriots,
right.
Red Sox,
Dan Klecko.
Maybe Celtics, certainly not Bruins, because it said well-known and no one knows who the Bruins are. So I would say it's Red Sox, Patriots are the most likely candidates if it's a well-known athlete.
Right.
So we might not be at the end of in New England or in all professional sports. This is growing by day, the more names they come out of these investigations.
Oh, well.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I know you struggle with this issue. I don't.
I think everyone should be able to
should
take
be able
stuff.
To, and I think a lot of them are. So my sports landscape has included the thought that these guys are on drugs for the last 8 years or more. So it doesn't really bother me. I still say, you know what? I like Rodney Harrison. He's a good guy. He plays for the team that I root for, so I'm rooting for him. I don't like Barry Bonds. He seems like a total jerk, and he plays for a team I don't root for, so I root against him. Drugs don't come into the little scenario.
Right.
I don't care.
You,
on the other hand, thought Lance Armstrong was clean.
I did.
And you don't anymore.
I don't anymore.
Thank you.
Right.
That doesn't mean he's done a lot of good for people. He raised, whatever, $30 million.
Right.
But it was based on him being a cheater.
Well, the problem is this. It's, you know, if it does add to the competitive advantage of an individual when they start taking this stuff, and it's not really regulated, and we really don't know the side effects, you know, are we – and then we say, well, it's okay to say it. Then, you know, now we're saying to people, you know, unless you start doing this stuff that you really don't know what the long-term effects are to your body, you're not going to be able to compete. And it's a tough – thing to really just say to these pro athletes that, you know, because it becomes like an arms race.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's dangerous, and I think that the medical society really has to get up to speed. And but the problem is all these new stuff, you know, they don't have time to do the proper testing on it. So how can you as a league, you know, in good moral judgment or whatever, say, yeah, go ahead and take it,
right?
Because you could be putting people to their deaths.
Right, and then you'd be liable, I would think.
Right.
Financially beyond the moral implications.
Yeah, so it's tough. You know, it's almost like
this issue will not get any easier, will not get any clearer, and it will not be going away No. I mean, I think my son will be dealing with this in 40 years.
If they find a blood test, an accurate blood test for HGH, there's going to be something else coming
right.
up.
Right.
I mean, this people in laboratories creating this stuff.
There's people in laboratories creating it, and there's people in the laboratory down the hall trying to figure out how to test for the thing that's being created, and it's an arms race, and it'll never end. It will never end because there's too much money, fame, fortune, everything all wrapped into sports.
And again, it's the same thing. These guys are highly motivated, highly competitive people whose livelihood depends on keeping their job, and the only way they can keep their job is to be better than the guy behind them.
And to not only be better, but to bounce back quicker, to not miss 3 weeks, whatever it is.
And so whether it's videotaping for just that little edge, you know, of knowledge about coaches' tendencies, or it's taking on an individual basis a substance that will make you return from an injury quicker, these guys are always going to do it.
Right.
I mean, Babe Ruth would have done it. Well, maybe not Babe Ruth, because he was kind of – but – you know, these guys.
I'm sure he cheated. Oh, I don't know what the cheating way was, but I'm sure he cheated.
Yeah.
Spitballs and different things with their
people.
Ty Cobb, have been doing it forever.
Yeah. Gaylord Perry. You know, they're all these athletes all through time, whatever edge was available to them, they took. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, and we as fans, just don't tell us about it.
Right.
I don't want to hear about it.
Or just don't be naive as a fan and just accept it.
You know,
that's what you need to do. Just accept it.
You know, all the leagues can do is just when they know about something, regulate it as tough as they can.
Who was your guy? Mecklenburg or
Carl Mecklenburg? What about him?
Who was your favorite athlete when you had a favorite athlete?
Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
Larry Bird.
Dan Klecko.
And Bjorn Borg, but I don't like Borg anymore.
Why?
He's just got kind of weird.
So you drop your favorite athlete like that?
Yeah, he just, you know. He just kind of like, I don't know, with the pills and Monte Carlo and all the tax stuff, and I don't like him. But Larry Bird and Muhammad Ali are my two favorite athletes of all time.
So it would crush you to find out Muhammad Ali used steroids?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It would.
Okay. Because it wouldn't, like, Bo Jackson's my guy.
And you know he did.
Well, I don't know he did, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised, and it wouldn't. What I loved about Bo was watching him play, so. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I have to go back. I can't believe Larry Bird took steroids, because if he did, they didn't really work.
Right, but
with Ali,
anything, greenies or uppers or down, whatever
well,
he was
sure
doing.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure these guys
so,
did. I mean, he
but
smoked
that doesn't
cigarettes,
bother
right?
me. You that know? Doesn't bother me. You don't love their moral compass. You love the fact that he hit the game-winning three. You love the fact that he went 90 yards.
True.
That's what I love.
Yeah.
The sports entertainment aspect of it, not that he's a good guy. I don't care.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair enough.
I mean, and these parents, to one degree, I understand that athletes have influence and they're heroes and kids look up to them, but you got to be a parent. It's not the team or the athlete's job to be the parent. You're the parent. You need to do the parenting, right, wrong, explain things
right.
to them, talk. I mean, these kids are going to face issues throughout their lives. Kids are going to high school athletes face questions about steroids and, you know, yeah, maybe they think, well, Rodney Harrison took it so I could. But they should also be thinking, my dad had an hour conversation with me about
right.
why it's wrong, why it's risky, what you're doing, you're cheating, all that stuff. So
was Charles Barkley right when he said, I'm not a role model?
Yes and no. I can really appreciate guys who believe they're role models and try to do everything in that light, but I don't think it's necessarily fair that every guy that's a pro athlete is thrown into that light. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I just think pro athletes need to be cognizant that kids are watching.
Right.
So do what you can to not do this. You know, don't be a Pac-Man
right.
Jones.
Right.
Don't
and
be
I
a
can
thug.
Appreciate those guys.
You know.
And you're going to think less of the guy who doesn't.
Right.
But that still doesn't really affect his 90-yard run, his 400-foot home run. That's the basis of sports, is the actual action between the lines, the physical feat. Everything else has evolved into endorsements and money and this and that. But at the basis of it, it's who runs the fastest, hits the hardest, throws the ball the hardest, all that. And that's right. what sports is.
All right. We're going to take a break, Gary. We'll be right back.
All right, Jimmy. It's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right. Let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything. Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a
true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
Here's a rush. Got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
He's going to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin. Wow.
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. When you got a lineman size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
Lunchtime for the boys. Let's listen in. Looks like it's Mexican today.
You know what I love about tacos?
What's that? Everything.
Your tacos get any more kick butt than that?
But with these guys, you have to kick it up a notch.
Oh, they're about to, all right. We take a crunchy all-beef taco, smother it in nacho cheese, lettuce, tomato, and our special Southwestern sauce. Then we wrap it in a soft flour tortilla with a layer of refried beans in between.
Sweet.
Then we wrap that in a savory corn tortilla with a middle layer of Monterey Jack cheese.
And what do you think of that, Tom?
Awesome! And it gets even awesomer when we take a deep-fried gordita shell, smear on a layer of our special guacamolito sauce, and wrap that around the outside.
Andy's head might be big, but what does he think of that?
This is pretty big.
It gets bigger because we bake it in a corn husk filled with pico de gallo, then wrap that in an authentic Parisian crepe filled with egg, Gruyere, sausage, and portobello mushrooms.
Paul, what's on your mind?
Can I eat it now?
Sure, but not before we take the whole thing and wrap that in a Chicago-style deep-dish meat lover's pizza.
Fred? Frank? Jake Steele? How's that sound?
Pizza? Now that's what I call a taco.
Well, it's not a taco until we roll it up in a blueberry pancake, dip it in batter, and deep fry it until it's golden brown. Then we serve it all in a commemorative tote bag filled with spicy vegetarian chili. It's 15 great tastes all rolled into one. The new Pizza Crepe Taco Pancake Chili Bag.
It's what's for lunch. Or you can just send pizza and wings and a turkey sub.
This is John Hanna, Patriot Hall of Famer. Download the podcast now.
All right, John, we will, if you tell us to. All right, web radio at patriots.com. PJ says, well, if all went well, you're in the midst of chomping on Papa Gino's right now.
We are, and you're the best.
It did go well. I tried to call the other place that Gary mentioned, but they don't deliver. So you guys are stuck with Papa's once more. We're not complaining.
We are not complaining, although my belly's churning.
On to football. I know you guys were talking 16-0 in jest yesterday, so please tell the fans you were joking. So
nope, serious.
So a bunch of Fred Kirsches don't get too excited. 16-0 is almost impossible. I'm actually a little bit worried about this week, if you can believe it. You can tell that the players laid it all on the line for their coach last week, and I'm afraid of a little bit of a letdown. By the way, did Paul go from losing to the Chargers at home to maybe being the greatest NFL team ever assembled?
Bit of a fraud, no?
Yes, he did. Also, just as a side note, if you've seen this, don't answer, but what do you guys think the line is for the Pats game this week?
Pats by 10.
Well, you want to know what, according to PJ, it's 16.5.
Wow.
Is that true, Gary?
That's a big number.
That is huge.
That is.
I'm not sure I would go for that.
I think I would take the points.
I think.
Although I did pick.
I don't know who they're playing.
I think Las Vegas is trying to take advantage of some New England.
No, they're trying to get some people to bet Bills. They're trying to get what you said. Because otherwise, no one would bet the Bills.
Yeah.
But I do think there's going to be a little bit of a letdown here. I think there's a chance that this game gets kind of boring and ugly in the middle, a little sloppy.
Bogged down.
Yeah, bogged down. But then score a touchdown, comfortable lead and always in control, but not pretty. Not the explosive prettiness we've seen. Prettiness.
All right, well, PJ, thanks for the grub. That
PJ,
is awesome.
You are the best.
Webradiopatriots.com.
Until somebody buys tomorrow.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. I've got a lot of emails coming in, as usual. Let's start with this one. Pete says, I'm amazed at Paul's ability to see things in black and white only. If he lives long enough, he'll discover the maddening myriad shades of gray that life has to offer.
He already lived a long time.
I enjoyed watching him try to keep his focus on football during a recent segment of Patriots Today with Christina Acra, who I think is absolutely delicious.
Easy.
I want to hear Paul deny that he didn't have lust in his heart.
I thought he shot the segment with B-Lo.
I don't know. Maybe B-Lo has a glint in his. Even B-Lo has a glint in his eye when he's in studio with her. Love the show. Sounds more like Pete. You love Christina Acra.
What does even B-Lo mean? Even B-Lo.
Even B-Lo has a glint in his eye.
I'm not sure what I know what that means.
A glint in his eye and something in his pocket.
Oh, easy. Jesus.
No, it's anyway. A great. Have you watched the show?
No.
Oh, what do you mean no? You work for the team, you haven't even watched the team's internet show?
No.
Why?
I don't know, I just haven't.
Why not?
Because it's
You're
long.
Just being stubborn.
No, it's long.
I
don't want to rip the idea, but I've always been opposed to things that are long on the internet.
Right. Well,
if I'm going to sit and, I mean.
You can download it to your iPod.
I don't have an iPod that has video capability.
Oh.
I know the idea is eventually your TV screen is that everything's going to come into your TV and all that.
Right, right.
We're not there yet. When we're there, then I'll go to patriots.com and watch a show on my big screen.
You can.
It's the same show yet.
As on on-demand Comcast.
Okay, I don't watch it there either.
Okay, so
I don't watch
you really
our
don't
show
have
either.
An excuse,
I don't
do
watch.
You?
I have a young child.
All right. That's better.
But I don't watch our show.
No.
I tape it and then delete it in a month.
Right.
I rarely ever watch it. Every once in a while I'll try to see something.
We don't have time to sit down and watch TV.
Plus, and no offense, but we're here every single day, all weekend long. We're in this radio show. I go to we're talking Patriots, thinking Patriots. I'll be honest with you. I don't really want to think Patriots when I'm home.
I hear you.
I want to go in a different direction.
I hear you.
That's why I'm on the Food Network.
I don't blame you. But it is an amazing show. They're
I'm
doing
sure
a great
it is.
Job.
Christina she's getting
Acra,
rave reviews.
Rave reviews. She's really nice to look at, but also she's a pro. I mean, nice delivery. Brian Lowe as the field reporter. They even
I believe
in,
that was the Chelsea.
they bring in Paul Perillo twice a week. 5 points with Perillo.
That's ridiculous.
That what it's called?
Yeah,
no
5 points
would
with Perillo.
Have sex with
so
that
he now
loser.
Just flat out steals Mike Reese's ideas.
Oh, is that what Reese does?
Reese always does 5 points. Nessun and then his blog.
Oh, really?
Interesting. Paul Perillo, the thief.
Well, Felger is the first one because he did four downs with Felger.
Right.
He's the first.
But at least when Reese stole it, he added a point and made it five.
Right.
Paul just kept the same thing and put his name on it.
Well, I don't know if Paul actually created this, but that's what he does.
He's a thief.
He's on Tuesdays, he sits down with Brian Lowe, and they both say nothing. And then Friday, Paul comes with his 5 points.
And when is he on with Christina Acra?
Well, he's never, like, with her, I don't think.
I think he's never been with her.
I think he's just in the studio.
Because they made it sound like he was distracted by her beauty.
I think this is just one of our emailers being funny.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Because I'm sure Paul would be distracted. I mean,
but it's a great show, and it's only going to get better. They got this guy that kind of does man-on-the-street-type interviews.
Who?
I don't know. He's some guy. I've never seen him before. But he's like that Bob Doyle type, you know, gets out there.
I mean, is he a comedian? Is he a...
Who is it? Do you know Gary?
Gary, have you ever seen the show?
Gary,
I have no idea. I don't have the slightest.
But he goes out there and kind of does oddball interviews and stuff. And he did it with the media last week. He did it with Albert Breer and a couple other guys and kind of made fun of him. And it's funny. It's good stuff.
Sure, they'll be back for another.
So those of you, I'd like to hear from people who have seen the show and see what they think.
30 minutes on the internet.
Well, it's more like 22.
So you subtract the commercial time? Or they're all
no, the commercials are very short. There's like 10-second commercials. There's only a few of them. Toyota.
Can I get a deal on a Toyota? I've seen a lot of Toyota cross promotions in here.
Well, Toyota's a big, they're now the official car.
Should I talk to somebody if I'm looking to buy a Tacoma?
Yeah, probably a dealer.
Damn it. How come we never get anything out of these sponsorships?
We get to keep our jobs.
That's true. Good point. Free pizza comes courtesy of great listeners like PJ. We get nothing from Papagino's free. Nothing.
Karthik is from Chicago. He writes in, it's been so sick all these days with all the conspiracies. We lost the entire reputation of being a dream organization, and it's more sick to hear people telling Indy is a role model organization with great drafting and one Super Bowl win, and more if not for Bill's videotapes. Hope we are not hearing anything other than what we know so far. Coming to the game that was so brutal, especially the first quarter when Brady threw close to 150 yards, Randy Moss silenced all his critics, and Adalius Welker made huge contributions. To me, the surprise is Sammy Morris.
Welker?
Yeah, Welker.
Huge contributions?
Yes. You don't think so?
On the same level as Moss and Thomas? No.
You guys, you and Paul are just going to go to your grave just fighting this battle.
No.
You've got to admit at this point that Welker is everything the Patriots thought he was going to be when they offered him that contract.
I agree. He is riding Randy Moss's coattails with success that we thought he would.
Oh, come on.
I just think it's a little unfair. Randy Moss and Adalius Thomas are special athletes, playmakers.
Okay.
They'd be playmakers in any system, any era, any game.
Okay.
Wes Welker is a nice little player.
And he's made a nice little player who's made huge contributions so
far. Tom Brady would have completed 90% of his passes through two games if it weren't for Wes Welker.
You're just being stubborn.
How am I being stubborn?
You and Paul are being stubborn.
I said, the day they signed him, I said he's going to be a very productive guy in this offense. He might catch 100 balls, and he might do just that.
And that's not a
huge
contribution?
But comparing him as a playmaker to Adalius Thomas and Randy Moss is ridiculous.
Catching 100 balls isn't a huge contribution?
Ridiculous.
Who was saying that he's as good as Randy Moss?
Richey Caldwell caught 60-something balls last year.
Yeah?
Somebody's got to catch balls.
Yeah. He's going to catch 100 as a number two receiver, number three receiver.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's disrespectful to Thomas and Moss to put Welker in the same sentence.
No one's doing that.
You did. No, you just read an email that had him in the same ballpark.
The person, he's made a huge contribution so far. And
I don't know.
That's absolutely 100%
accurate. Is it that 6.1 yards a carry on punt
returns
or whatever
it is? Everything that they thought he was going to do, he has done. He's lived up to the billing and his contract. But
he has not lived up to his contract yet. Don't tell me that.
But to the emailer.
And he hasn't lived up. By the way, he hasn't lived up to the trade either.
You guys.
Because you traded a four for Randy Moss. So if we're going to look at this objectively, Randy Moss is worth a four, and that's the production.
Keep it
up. Wes Welker has to be twice as much for a number two.
Keep it up. Keep it up. You're just making yourself look foolish.
Not really.
To me, the surprise is Sammy Morris. I never thought he could be this worthful. Of course, he gets more benefit from the wide receivers, but in Sunday's game, he ran some tough yards.
Tremendous.
The biggest disappointment is Dante Stallworth. I expected more out of him. What are your opinions on him? Well, I don't think
he hasn't had any chances.
Exactly.
I think he will have He's not as good as Moss. We talked about that yesterday.
He's a victim of the talent on the team.
Right. And at some point, he will have big games. He will be a contributor.
Right.
But because of his skill set, his role, and everything, it's limited at this point. But he certainly hasn't. It's not like they've thrown him 10 passes and he dropped 8 of them.
Right.
He's, you know, there was one that one hopped, I think. I'm trying to think of the times he's been thrown to other than the, I think he has 3 catches.
Yeah, a few catches.
But.
You know.
He's been limited, but it's been just sort of a product of what's going on.
Kelly Washington, we don't even hear about anymore.
Well, he's also a lesser.
But he just doesn't get a chance.
Expectations are lesser.
You know, last year, Kelly Washington might have been the number 2 receiver.
But Stallworth is supposed to be a productive big play guy.
Right.
But I think at some point he will be. I think he'll get his catches.
Yep.
Morris has a – what was that?
Somebody
– why am I hearing nin-nin-nin-nin-nin? Morris has been – I think the biggest surprise. Moss, we thought there was a chance he could be this good. But Morris, I thought, I'll be honest with you, I thought very little of.
Well,
he's been very impressive.
The day free agency opened, they had Morris in here taking a physical, so they knew something
and
about him.
No, he told me when I talked to him, they told him they might draft him when he was coming out of college, and then when he was a free agent the first time, they were interested and showed interest, and he just decided to go to Miami.
It's a perfect case of once he gets on the right team with the right coaches, that's what helped him. You know, that's why a guy like David Givens isn't doing well anymore.
Because he can't walk. He got hurt, you idiot.
Well, because he's not good. I think we are playing, says Karthik, pretty good, but Indy is really good too. I'm waiting for that game since I think the Super Bowl trip is sealed if we can beat Indy. I love Jarvis Green. It's not that easy to replace Seymour, and he's doing an awesome job. But two concerns. One, I think Samuel screwed himself by sitting out for too long, and other than Ellis Hobbs – and to some extent, Sanders, I think the other DBs suck big time.
Well, Wilson has played very well.
And I think it's a big weakness going in against Cincinnati and Indianapolis.
First of all, I disagree.
I think Randall Gay's played
well. Randall Gay has been pretty good, which is fine now that he's in a role as a backup, as a guy coming in.
He actually started, though.
Yeah, I know. He's a backup. Yeah. I still think there might be just whatever. They're not going to start Samuel because he held out, whatever it is. When they first... when it's a passing situation, he comes in, and then from then on, he plays the rest of the way. So, but Hobbs has been okay. I think Samuel has played fine. He gave up the touchdown in New York. Both plays he had blanketed. The touchdown, if you saw the picture in our paper, it's absolutely shocking he didn't break the ball up. He could not have had better position.
Right.
Could not have had. His arm was in between Coles' arms and in perfect position to break it up. I don't know how it didn't.
Yeah.
So, I think he's played fine. He will get better, I think, because I'm sure he's limited a little bit in terms of missing some time.
Right.
James Sanders has been very good, and Eugene Wilson, I think, has played pretty well in the first 2 weeks.
Yep.
He hasn't made a lot of big hits or interceptions, anything like that, but I think they've been solid in the middle of the field.
Hey, by the way, I'm looking on the TV right now, and Curtis Martin was on NFL All Access last night. They're replaying it. Did you know that he's working on a deal now to become a part owner of an NFL team?
Yes.
Which team do you know?
I don't know, but I know he talked about that.
How does that happen? I mean, I know he doesn't have enough money to buy one, but...
No, but...
He's becoming a...
He's a focal point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you have some money and then can get other people to invest in your idea, I mean, I'm sure he has a lot of connections.
So what team do you think it would be?
I don't know. The Bills, maybe?
The Bills?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm just throwing teams out there that might be... I mean, I don't think it's the Jets. I don't think it's the Giants.
Right.
I don't think it's the Patriots. I don't
right.
think it's the Reds. I mean, you look in the area. I mean, what teams are available or
vulnerable?
I mean,
yeah.
Cardinals, Bidwells. I don't know. Are they?
Yeah, I don't know.
Teams that I think of weak ownership would be.
He's from the Pittsburgh area, but it wouldn't be the Steelers.
Not the Steelers.
You know.
You
know. So it's interesting. I don't know. Anyway, finally, Karthik says his other concern is Lawrence Maroney, who didn't show me that he could be the spearhead running back for this offense.
People are turning on Maroney.
See,
you know who the biggest leader of that is?
Who?
Your boy.
Tom? Really?
Remember when he had him in the Hall of Fame last year and I said, whoa, 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 he's got talent? Well, now Tom thinks he stinks, can't play.
No.
He's been ripping him.
I think he ran well.
I think he's been okay.
He had over 4 yards a carry last game. I think he punished guys.
I'll be honest. I've been disappointed. I thought by now he'd have at least one big one.
I think if he was getting 25 to 30 carries a game, he'd have 100 yards a game, no problem. We'd have no problem with that.
Probably.
But they're splitting the carries.
You haven't been seen him dancing a little? Same questions we've had.
A little bit, but I've also seen him get 10, 11 yards. He hasn't popped one yet, but that would be only a matter of time if he got the number of carries in a game. I think if he had 25, 30 carries,
he'd get hurt.
Well, that's what they're worried about. So maybe that's
I think you might be seeing, at least for the early part of the season, this is what they want to do. They want to keep it pretty balanced.
And maybe that's the smart thing to do.
Well, yeah. But I've been disappointed. I'm not ready to write him off just like I wasn't ready to put him in the Hall of Fame after Cincinnati.
I've seen the flashes, the same flashes I saw last year, I've seen this year. I saw him take two guys 5 yards last Sunday night.
So based on right now, when he has, what does he have, 120 yards maybe?
I don't know, whatever.
What are your projections after 2 weeks? Where does he end up?
1,200 yards.
Okay.
And I'm happy with that because Morris will have another 600 or 700.
Oh, yeah. If he ends up with 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns, that's a good year.
Yeah.
But I've been a little disappointed. Not ready to write him off, but a little disappointed.
I'm seeing good things out of him. Let's see. Justin in Alaska writes in defense of Fred. First, I have not been drinking prior to this email, but I must come to the defense of Jake Steele. His passionate defense of Belichick on Friday was the best radio I've heard in years. I totally agree with his contention. BB is the type of person that will do anything that he can to better prepare and be more thorough than any coach or team he will face.
Give me a break.
Did he stretch the rules too far? Yes. Did he cheat?
Stretch? Break is the word, not stretch.
Did he cheat? No. If that stuff was used during the games, then I'll change my mind, but I'm confident it wasn't.
Isn't cheating breaking a rule to get a competitive advantage? Isn't that what cheating is, Fred?
We've already talked about that. Remember that we, moron fans, as Tom and Paul would say, tune in because we want to hear Pat's news and insight. Yes, I like the truth, good or bad. Yes, I enjoy Tom and Paul's journalism first, Pat's fifth approach. But more than that, I want to talk about my favorite team with people who love them too, and that's my man, Fred.
16-0.
From one lifelong homer to another, keep up the good work, Steele. P.S. What about Andy? Well, I just figure he's looking at smokinghutteachers.com.
Is that really a website?
It might be. We'll have to check it out.
Can our boy get us a password?
I know if Tom's listening, he's on it right now.
No, he'd be on smokinghotyounggirl.com.
By the way, Tom, if you're listening, there's a turkey sub here waiting for you.
I think the upside of Bush is
phenomenal. And if you don't eat it, Andy's going to.
No, I won't. I'll save it for tomorrow. He can eat it tomorrow. Just like if there's any leftovers here, I'm going to eat those tomorrow.
Rodrigo is from Atlanta, and he says he loves the show. Love watching the game last Sunday. Opening drive touchdown in.
I don't speak Spanish.
Interception on the first Chargers play just made my day. O-line is consistent so far. Sammy and Maroney are sharing the load. Moss to Brady's working well, and Sanders is playing great. Besides the two receptions Stallworth got, Brady threw two balls to him down the sideline, one of which was called a defensive pass interference, and the other one went just out of his reach. Bottom line is that teams will respect Moss and open up Stallworth. Welker's move was amazing when he took a step back and then ran for the first down. That was a great move. He left that guy just grasping for air.
He did.
I mean, come on. You guys are just so stubborn about Wes Welker.
No, you know what we're stubborn about? Let's just look at things realistically. He's a nice little player. He is not a dynamic playmaker of the mold, Randy Moss.
Who is?
You had him in the same sentence. It said Moss, Thomas, Welker.
Guys who have made huge contributions so far.
Huge?
He's in that group.
Huge?
He's not Randy Moss. Nobody is.
Right.
That's why we're so amazed at Randy Moss. But Wes Welker is going to be a huge contributor to this offense.
That's true. But he's not.
Thank you.
If we're going to list playmakers from the first 2 weeks, we take a while before we get to Wes Welker.
Oh.
We have to start with Brady. We go with Moss. We go with Thomas, Colvin, Vrabel. Am I right? Can I put all those guys ahead of Welker? Can I put all those guys ahead of Welker?
I just hit a button and all these emails just started coming in. It's unbelievable.
Why are you hitting buttons? Most people just open it and close it. You always do Control-Alt-Shift-F5. It's like you're trying to read Patriots.com.
Tom's writing in. He says, right now it's the Colts -2. Fred, that means the Colts are favored by 2 points. Bubba Ventrone is back, 16-0, baby.
He explains the number to you.
Who's the Colts? What are you talking about?
They're a team in Indianapolis. They won the championship.
No, but I mean, why are they doing a number for the Colts?
We posed the question if that was right now, what the number would be.
And, well, yeah, we said 2 or 3.
Well, I think there was some. Paul had a different idea.
Well,
I forgot
Paul
what,
always does. He true. Just tries to be the contrarian.
See Patrick Willis lighting it up out in San Francisco?
He's doing well. They got a big game that's coming up, right? San Francisco?
Who are they playing?
Big, a good team. I forget who. I just remember seeing it. It was
Gary!
Like, San Francisco's playing a good... Who's San Francisco playing?
A good team.
All right, ready? Sam from Denmark has some yes or no's for you.
Okay.
Ready? Number one, plus or minus, Brady will have 4,500 yards,
minus.
38... Okay, minus 45. How about 38 TDs?
Plus.
How about a QB rating of 110?
Minus.
Okay. Yeah, those QB ratings are tough to keep up.
It's 134 right now, I think, for the year. Something ridiculous.
It is, but it can't keep at that pace.
Well, you can, I mean.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. Where is it?
San Francisco's playing Pittsburgh.
Where is it? In the paper.
That's going to be a good game. This is a big test for I don't think San Francisco wins it.
I don't think San Francisco's ready.
But I think this is a big test for
NFC,
them.
AFC jump there is too big for them.
This is good for them to see where they are.
I agree with that, and yeah. I think they're going to find that they are significantly behind the AFC.
Yeah.
They're 8-point dogs.
8-point. Two, yes or no.
More does anybody else.
Moss will have no more TDs than T.O. this season.
No more?
Yeah, so who's going to have more TDs?
Moss will have more.
Okay. Three, Maroney will have no more TDs than Morris this season.
I don't get the wording, but Maroney will have more by the end of the year.
Okay. LT will finish his Chargers career without a Super Bowl appearance.
Appearance.
True. Eric Mangini will have been fired by the Jets by the end of the 2009 season.
True.
Ooh, really?
Yes. And it has nothing to do with all this.
Jets coach, sweetie. Let's go say hello.
I think he was fortunate in what came together last year. And I also have some questions about what he's doing defensively because I think the talent is there for him to do one thing, and he's trying to force the 3-4 scheme that he learned here. When maybe he'd be better off going with Robertson and Vilma and going with a 4-man front that might benefit their skills a little bit more.
Mm. So you think he's trying to jam a square peg in a round hole?
Yes, and I'm not sure he has the cachet to hang around long enough to do that with success if they don't win, and I think there's a chance they don't win
I
always.
Think he's going to get two to the back of the head. Six, with 1 minute left in the Week 15 game against the Jets, the Pats will have scored 35 points or more.
True.
And finally, Vinny will be running the 2-minute drill and get his annual TD pass.
False. Okay. Although apparently he's on the roster, according to reports yesterday.
Let's see. Last week we were talking about, yesterday we were talking about who you root for. Do you root for anyone as long as they're in your uniform? And Nick in Las Vegas says he'd cheer for anyone in a Patriots uniform. He's a huge fan of the team. He'd cheer for Pac-Man Jones. I do not have to like the players in order to cheer from them. So that's his take on that.
Seems like that's the overwhelming idea at this point, and I have no problem with it as long as you're consistent and believe it and don't criticize other teams when they cheer their guy who's a punk.
Matt from Quincy says the prodigal son, Bubba Ventrone, is back. Can Leonard Peters be far behind?
Bubba Ventrone stinks.
Why is he back then?
Because he's a great practice. He's Rudy. He's a great practice player.
So then he doesn't stink. He has a purpose.
Okay, yes.
He will help this team.
As a practice player, he may help this team, much as Bam Childress did last week playing with Dan and Tomlinson, much the way Kelly Washington did to earn himself practice player of the week. He is wearing the black jersey this week because of whatever he did last week in practice. Those guys, yes, they help. But do I think Ray Ventrone will ever make a play on this football team? No.
Simon looks like he's a first-time emailer.
Simon!
And he is. He says he loves the show, wants to get the podcast up a little quicker.
Chris, get this thing up quicker.
We'll do what we can. Some quick notes from yesterday's show. I will support any player that comes into the Patriots organization, regardless of personal history, because at the core, I'm a Patriots fan. Hence my continued disgust of the Cowboys when Drew Bledsoe, who I like, went to Dallas. Sorry, Tom. I was psyched to get Randy, even though I know he had a personal history of being a prima donna player that caused a commotion on other teams. I do, though, truly believe that players would not even have the Patriots clubhouse door open to them if Belichick and company didn't truly believe they
could
fit into
win.
Their own guidelines as being beneficial for their team.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I might sound like a hypocrite, but I think there would be no way T.O. could ever be a Patriot because he doesn't even show the ability to ever be incorporated as a true team player.
That may be true. I do think there are people just make the, oh, they took Corey Dillon, they took Randy Moss, they'll take anyone. I don't think that's true. I think there's guys that they would have no interest in, and I think T.O. might be one of those guys.
Let's see. Keith says, Tom's father could be right. He says, this morning, Dan Shaughnessy said in an article he wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Kraft fires Belichick if there are any more incidents that come out of this ongoing investigation. I don't agree with this thought entirely, but does make me realize it is possible. Let's say Tom's father is right and Belichick won't be here next year. I know.
Who's Tom's father?
Yeah, I don't know. Is that Tom Casale's father?
Yeah, he guaranteed he would be with the Giants next year.
Tom Casale's father guaranteed. All right, anyway.
Who gives a rat's I know ass there is supposed, what Tom's father thinks.
I know there is supposedly a new contract for Belichick, but it could have a buyout clause in it, too, or it may state that if you break any more rules, the contract's terminated. So the question is,
I don't think
let's
that's
hope
accurate.
This won't be necessary.
Because the deal was done before all these rule-breaking issues.
Right. Who would be the top five candidates on your list of replacements for Bill Belichick?
I want a team-first attitude.
That's a good one, Fred. Go ahead.
I have no idea. I used to say John Fox, but he's lost a lot of luster. Jeff Fisher signed an extension, so he's off the market.
You can't just say who's great coaches. They're all, I mean, you
got to
think.
That's who I'd want.
You can't just take any coach you want. Let's think of guys that might actually be available and could come here.
I have no idea.
You got no idea.
Nope.
Nobody.
Maybe Kurt
Flint. When I told you this was my last
Pat
coaching
Hill.
Job, this is my last coaching job.
Those guys that are kind of after the Belichick, you know, from the Belichick tree.
So now we're taking Fresno State's head coach.
I hope they wouldn't look twice at Charlie Weiss.
Can you believe it? It's football time.
I don't want Charlie Weiss's career is over.
His career is over.
His career is over.
Wow.
Get the f*** off the field!
Good.
How about Schwartzy?
Well, I mean, we have a defensive end, and we got two tight ends, and we don't touch the mother
f***er. How about Schwartzy, Jim Schwartz?
Defensive coordinator?
Tennessee. Trained under Belichick and Jeff Fisher, the two longest tenured coaches.
Aren't most good coaches come from the offensive side?
Bill Belichick.
That's true. You got me there.
What's up?
Yeah, but he's a genius.
But, I mean, I think a lot of coaches come from both sides of the ball.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any one better than the other. It's in the fridge,
Tom,
tubby.
You got a turkey sub. Tom just walked in. All right, let's see. I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't thought about it. Last time I thought about it, I was like in John Fox and Fisher, and now I don't know.
But you know what?
John Gruden.
No, I don't want him.
Why?
Don't want him. I think he's a fraud.
How about, I'm trying to think of coordinators who might be intriguing. Oh, boy. I don't know. You're right. I can't think
of
anybody.
It's hard. I don't know. Let's
now,
see.
Do you think they would distance themselves from the Belichick tree? Yeah, because if it goes down in a certain way, that would end negatively.
Yeah, but, you know, you stick with what worked. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The guy won games and won your Super Bowl.
Yeah, but if you got rid of him, it doesn't mean.
You want to keep the philosophy going.
Well, if you want to keep the philosophy going, then keep the guy who drew it up.
No, this guy is asking us to be hypothetical.
About Bill Parcells.
I know.
You don't want to play along at all, huh?
I don't want him.
Why?
He's so yesterday.
Jeff Davidson.
Hell no.
Hell no.
Rob Ryan.
Hell no.
Hell no.
Dante Scarnecchia.
Maybe.
It's going to be a hot name if they play well this year is that Bruce Arians, the offensive coordinator for Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
What about your guy from Rutgers?
Shiano?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want him because I think he's a college coach, but I wouldn't doubt if he would start being named for some of these in the near future.
And if I'm him, I take it. Get a payday, sign one of those ridiculous 5-year, $25 million deals, get fired in 3 years, go to another college, and then live your life out as a nice college coach.
I used to defend the college coaches, but it's starting to look like Jimmy Johnson was the exception to the rule. Because it's just not happening. I mean,
it just doesn't make any sense that
Petrino
you think you can go
in,
from one to the other.
Petrino
not
comes
similar.
In for in Atlanta and wants to run that 5-wide.
How's that sub, Tom?
Me, 5-wide, 5-wide offense he ran at Louisville. That crap doesn't work.
And
in
it's
the NFL.
But I think it goes so far beyond the schemes. There is nothing that's the same. Nothing. they're just so different in terms of everything you do in the process of college football.
You really need that guy that just, you know, grew up in the ranks of the NFL. And...
Well, I don't know about grew up, but he needs to have a pretty solid foundation of NFL life.
Yeah.
Because I just think there's so much that's so different.
Yeah. When I say grow up, I mean in his career.
They would
mean...
not touch Nick Saban with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, no. No.
He's worse than Belichick in all the stuff that you'd hate. And, oh, by the way, he's not as good a coach.
All right, we got a lot of emails coming up. We got another hour to go. We'll be right back.
He's talking like the guy in Fat Albert.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything. Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
Here's a rush. Got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
He's going to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardian poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin. Wow.
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demulus Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
This is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot specialty license plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate today. Day.
There was no
foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
I was this close to asking Chad Brown about that today, but I couldn't think of how to word it without being a total jerk.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but that's one of those ones you got to be friends with. Like, I could ask Ray Ventrone that question.
Right.
No, see, I feel bad for Chad Brown. At some point, somebody needs to say to him, Chad, it's over. You know,
they moved
and they keep bringing
today,
him back.
Fred.
What?
They moved his locker over to the
Yeah, he's now with the linebackers,
he's
playing in the second quarter against the Chargers.
I think
we've missed the boat on that. He's got something left, apparently.
You guys have discussed Bubba Ventrone, I take it.
Oh, he's back.
He's back, and that's all it needs.
Well,
move on.
Just for the fans know, I talked with him today.
Did you?
He's happy to be back. He said his wife got her old teaching job back. He settled her family lives
as
here.
As if we care.
So I think you'll see a long, productive career here in New England from Ray Bubba Ventrone.
I'm just happy to be here. Hope I can help the ball club.
So his wife already got a job?
Well, no, she got her old job. She used to teach here, and then she went with him.
Right.
And when
you know the job that Tom's wife's been trying to get for a while?
Yeah, my wife finally got a teaching job after 2 years. She leaves, comes back, and they just give her old job back. But good for her. He said he plans on staying here for a while.
Yeah, so she's going to stay when he gets cut next week?
I guess they told him he's here for the rest of the year. I don't know. Where's he going to go? I mean, he's the best practice player
home
on the team.
He could go into the practice Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Bill gave him that glowing recommendation that one time when I asked about him. Remember what a great practice player he was?
I never said that.
No one remembers.
Or
do they care?
You need guys like that. You need him. Guys like Ray Ventrone.
You need him on that practice squad.
If you want to be a championship team, you need guys like that to go up against
the practice. So ridiculous.
Makes you better.
Wasn't he here last year?
No.
Was that 2 years ago he was here?
Vinny Ferrero says,
we've been thinking about Ray Ventrone for 2.5 years. That's wasted energy we can never get back.
I discovered him.
When?
I was the guy who discovered him on special teams, and I told Paul, watch this guy on special teams get his ass kicked all day. No, he was great. Every game, he'd just get up, dust himself
he
off.
He is Rudy.
And just go do
He's
another
Rudy.
Play, get knocked down again. He'd get up again.
Rudy.
And I said, watch this guy. Him. Watch this guy. That's what I said.
Rudy.
Let's see. Vinny Ferraro says, I just want to let you know that in 2 weeks, I'll be able to send you food again.
Nice.
I don't know. Is that when the paycheck comes in?
What's he, Chris Ferreira?
Well, Gary will have a new order for you. We're actually going to mix in some subs occasionally with some of these food orders. You can order it from Papa Gino's,
like they
but
get
steak
excited
and cheese.
About that. Like, we're trying to, right. You're going to be able to buy us other things now.
I'm looking for steak. The next time you guys.
I'm going to be looking for steak at the end of the season I beat you in that picks.
That'll be Vinny's fourth time.
Vinny is the best.
Oh,
there's
Vinny.
No question.
Awesome, you guys.
Oh, Vinny
he is
you
awesome, Cartman.
I'm starting to feel guilty. Vinny, get your friends to buy it. Let's see.
Isn't he awesome, you guys?
Looking at the Pats schedule, I see two potential difficult teams to play against. The Ravens because of their defense and the Steelers in addition to the Colts.
Oh, I was going to say we're leaving the
what
Colts
do you
out
think
now?
What do you think of those two matchups against the Pats?
I think they're tough.
P.S. What happened to Eric?
I don't know.
I still think, and I'm not just – see, Fred's going to think I'm – You guys would think I'm just going to say this. But
yes, I agree.
I think the Cowboys are a tough matchup because they have an offense. If it gets rolling, they can score some points. I think against the Patriots, you almost have to look at them like the Colts now. Yes. You can't score 14 points and beat the Patriots anymore. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
You need to score points. So I look at like Baltimore, I just don't think they have the offense.
Yeah, I don't think they've got the offense, right.
That's why I take a team like Dallas. Say they start getting rolling, they hit some T.O. deep. A team like that, I think, is more dangerous because you're going to have to beat the Patriots like the Colts did in the AFC Championship game, high scoring.
Just so you know, I think the Cowboys are the Chargers. And by that, Wade Phillips is on one sideline, Norv Turner's on the other, and Bill Belichick bitch slaps both.
I'm not saying that they have a great team by any means, but the strength of their team is the vertical passing game.
Is and not that's the head coach.
But that's the way you can beat the Patriots.
I agree.
Beat them deep down the field with a guy like T.O. I don't think the Ravens are going to line up. What are they going to do, run McGahee? Give me a break. Right. The Patriots win that game.
The issue with the Ravens, in that it's that little stretch there. Eagles, Ravens, Steelers is a pretty tough
stretch. Eagles aren't looking too good right now.
I think they'll be better by then than they're playing right now.
Well, here's the problem.
And I'm
though.
Saying the combination of the
Who's
three.
Who's the quarterback by then? See, that they get him late in the year. Is Cobb the quarterback? Because if he is, they got no shot at all. That means they're going to the future.
But I don't even think the Eagles have a chance to beat him. I just think those are three decent opponents. There's no gimme.
Well, they got that one. The Eagles?
Yeah.
I think
I thought they did beginning, but I don't think McNabb's playing
still,
well.
But teams like the Redskins and Eagles are still talented enough if they bring their A game and the Patriots are in a down week, they can beat you.
Yeah.
All three. I think all three of those teams are. So that means you have to play three very good games in a row to win.
The hard thing to do is to take the Patriots and look at them on paper against other teams. Because if you're going to do that, there's one game, the Colts. That's it.
I don't even think there's that.
But I'm just saying, talent-wise, you go in them and the Colts. What you don't know is which week are they going to be down for.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, that Miami game last year, they were not mentally there for that game. Because you can't shut the Patriots out. It's impossible to do if they feel like playing. So there's going to be a game like that, and it's whether or not they get caught on that day.
Yeah. And the other question, Fred, is if we're going to talk 16-0. Is late in the year. What does Bill do? It's legitimate and
does
they're 14-0. How does he handle that
situation?
Bill said
this, that is ridiculous.
Bill says a lot of things.
Should. And
he told me how good J.P. Lossman is. The guy's averaging 90 yards passing a game.
I agree with Bill.
If any coach after week two who starts talking about undefeated season
should be fired.
Should be walked off the podium.
Should be fired. But you know who is supposed to talk about it? The media.
But my
thing is,
after 10 weeks, if you get to 10-0, you start talking.
Nah, anybody can talk then. I'm talking at 2-0 that they're going to go 16-0.
You don't really believe that. You're just saying
no,
it.
I really do.
No,
I think they have a chance.
No, you're stupid.
I think they have a chance.
Oh, I'm with Bill.
You're an idiot then.
Alejandro from Bogota, when the rat coach, a.k.a. Mangini, started this whole
glad
video
you cleared that up.
Affair,
I wasn't sure.
Some members of the media questioned whether he was breaking an unwritten rule. My question is there something something like a coach's fraternity? Because for what I've read, some are really hated, like the name Buddy Ryan comes to mind. Could you tell me about the Bounty Bowl?
Yeah, it was Thanksgiving Day against the Cowboys, and the Eagles beat them 34-0, but it wasn't good enough for Buddy just to destroy a bad team. He had to put a bounty on the kicker.
the kicker had done something. What was it?
The kicker had said something about the Eagles the last time they had played, so he put a bounty on them. But here's the thing about Mangini. Buddy Ryan got a bunch of other jobs. He went to Arizona. I know other teams were interested in him being their defensive coordinator after that. Mangini's going to get a job because he knows people. That's how you get jobs. Look at these bad coaches that keep getting hired. Norv Turner. Look how long Rich Kotite was in the league. Paul Hackett, who used to be the offensive coordinator for the Jets, who's now in Tampa Bay. You know why? Because he hired John Gruden as a coaching assistant at Pitt. Gruden remembered it, then hired him back as a quarterback coach. That's how all this crap works. So Mangini will get another job. I doubt it'll be a head coaching job because I got a feeling that was 1 year and done.
Well, the next one will certainly not be a head coaching job. But, you know, you take two steps back, and then who knows down the line. But he'll get another. This talk that when he's done with the Jets, like his career is over, I think is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, because my guess is more people hate Bill than him. Would you agree with that, Fred?
Right now, yeah.
Probably. Well, I'm just saying, people don't like Belichick.
No.
You know why? If he got fired here, I bet you 31 people would like him.
Absolutely. They'd hire him tomorrow. Let's see. Russell from the UK says, I was watching the 05 AFC Championship game the other day where Manning got the false start called on him in the second quarter for putting his hands under the center and then standing up and moving around. Seems to me that he does this on most plays. So why is it not called? Is it no longer a rule? Do the refs just not look for it?
No, that was that trick play they ran, right?
I don't
remember. Wasn't that the direct snap to... It was the play they worked on all week, and they ran it exactly how they'd work on it because Tony Dungy admitted he didn't know the rule. Did they direct snap it to the edge?
Was that the snow when it was in the snow? Well, which game was that? I'm trying to.
That was the
20-3.
No, it was the next one, wasn't it? Why am I forgetting?
Well, 20-3 was after the AFC. Was it the AFC championship game or the?
It was.
I get years mixed up.
Well, while you're looking, Andy in Sioux City, Iowa says, first of all...
It must have been the 20-3, right? Yeah, it must have been the 20-3.
All right.
But...
What?
Was that the 20-3? I remember the play. It was a trick play that they had practiced all week, and they ran it, and it was illegal. Because once you're under, it was a rule that Dungy didn't know. He had under center, he couldn't... And I want to say he goes under, and then when he goes back to do the thing, they direct snapped it to edge. And it wasn't legal because he was in motion and had been under center. And once he's under center, if he leaves, he has to set. And
well, there were two guys in motion, weren't there?
Yeah, there was something
you
like that.
You can definitely stand up after you've been. I mean,
oh, yeah,
quarterbacks
no question.
Do that.
No question. But he hadn't reset, and then the ball was snapped. It was all too quick. They didn't. It didn't.
Well, I think the bigger question is, at what point do his gyrations end, and now you have to be still? You know, so why is he allowed to do all this movement?
Because anybody can.
No one.
He doesn't do it under center, Fred.
Right.
Well,
that's what
up.
He's saying. He goes under center and then comes back up.
Anybody can do that. Brady does it.
Does
it all the time. Goes under.
Yeah.
The defense does. He changes who the mic call is.
So the question is, why can you do that? Like, if you're a lineman, a defensive lineman, you can make the case. I saw him under center. Then I saw him move. I thought the snap had been. You know, I thought the ball had been snapped.
Well, that's just not the way it works.
And I have seen that maybe once in 10 years.
Why does the quarterback get away with that?
Anybody can, as long as you set again.
Fred, you got to talk to the league.
All right.
No, but you're confusing the rules. I mean, have you ever seen the running back, a smart running back? Have you ever seen a smart running back who forgets the snap count, jumps off sides, and goes in motion? You can do that.
Oh, is that right?
As long as you. Yeah. But if you stumble forward and then stop, they go false start.
Okay.
If you just go in motion, you're fine, as long as no one else is in motion at the same time. So, I mean, it's just the way the game works.
Andy in Sioux City, first of all, as Tom called us out yesterday, yes, I will cheer for anyone in a Pats uniform, even OJ, if he makes a comeback after serving time and getting buffed.
I think OJ, I mean, murder should maybe cross a line.
Can you update us on Seymour at all? What is your feeling getting him back for week 7?
He still looks good because he was in the locker room last week and looked okay.
What is your analysis on Maroney so far? He seems tentative at times. Well, finally, if Eric showed up for work today, what does he think of Gostkowski's progress this season? And can we count on him for a take?
Well, Eric showed up for work, but no one's seen him since.
And he would just say he's in a slump.
Yeah.
I know from experience, dude.
I asked Sammy Morris an interesting question, I thought. He gave me. I mean, I don't mean the question was interesting.
You thought it was interesting if you asked it.
I asked him about goal line running. Do you have to change your style or anything? And he said, you don't really have to change your style, but because everyone's packed in, you can't dance around in the backfield. And I thought that was interesting because the thing we say about Maroney sometimes dances too much.
Right.
So I wonder if we will see Morris at the goal line more.
More touchdowns, Morris or Maroney?
I think right now I would say Morris.
I went with Maroney still.
It's close.
Because I think he's going to get some short ones, and then I think he'll get some big ones.
Yeah, but
he's going to get the 25-yarders at some point.
I think he's been... You know, I just wrote this for another thing that I do, that Maroney's been hot and cold so far. I feel like some plays he looks like the back we think he is, and then other plays he does that, what we say sometimes, dancing too much. He's just got to hit that hole.
Yeah, but I'm not worried. I think the potential I thought he had last year, I still think he has.
Well, this is a big week because the Bills are giving up 177 yards per game on the ground. I expect the Patriots to line up and use this as almost a glorified practice where they work on the running game. They know what they got in the passing game. You know, and I'm not saying Moss isn't going to score a touchdown, but I think you're going to see, like you saw in Carolina, where this is a physical game. They just line up and say, here we come, stop it, and I don't think the Bills can.
Andy also has a P.S. He says, I was really impressed with Tom getting those first two questions off to Norv the other night until he exposed the fact that he was the only one in the room at the time. Good job performing under pressure, Tom.
No problem. Hey, I had questions ready to go. I was sitting right in the front row for him.
That's funny. No one came to his... What happens?
No,
I came later.
I was sitting there, right?
I know.
And they go, here comes Coach. And I looked around, and I was the only person in the room. I could have asked him anything.
That's amazing. Because that, however, 2 years I did the opposing view, I don't remember ever having that
happen. No, the only other time, Brad Childress, there was like five of us. That was, and I thought, boy, this is weird. And that's when I had to raise my hand and say, Tom Casale, Patriots Football Weekly, because they made you do that. Like it was 1942.
Dave is in Cambridge. I think that's Mass, but I'm not sure. He says, did you get a chance to check out Greg Easterbrook's latest article on ESPN.com in which DNA confirms Bill Belichick is, in fact, the spawn of Satan? In the article,
well, we already knew that.
He says in the article, in addition to drinking the blood of virgin sacrifices, he spends his off hours in barnyards stepping on baby chicks and skinning baby animals alive. Interesting stuff. There is even an image on the website of Belichick, a.k.a. the Prince of Darkness, summoning lightning bolts.
Well, the only question I would have is, where's he finding all these virgins? Because I can't find
any. You're looking,
any.
Right? Also, in Peter King's article in SI.com, he proves how the Patriots organization is solely responsible for the Holocaust, 9/11, and Hurricane Katrina. I think Chris Collingsworth and the rest of the Belichick-hating media agrees the only suitable punishment for Belichick is death by hanging. By the way, I guess Brady sucks too. One question. Has the media gone insane? I think it's gone over the top. I really think.
Well, obviously, it's gone over the top.
I read Easterbrook's article, and, you know,
it was terrible.
It's a little bit over the top.
This is what I would say. If you have proof on something, then use it and write it. If you're just like, that thing was, what was it? I don't think Bill Belichick's going to last the season. How can you say something? Like,
right.
Do you have, what proof do you have? That's just like me saying, you know, I don't think the Patriots are going to win another game the rest of the year. Why am I saying it? It's stupid. Why would you say Bill Belichick won't last the rest of the season? You just want people to read your article. That's
right,
it.
Right.
You have no proof. I mean, he mentioned Super Bowl. I mean, do you have anything? If you don't, shut up.
Right.
Right. Let's see. Mike from Texas. Do the PUP players and or practice squad players get to be on the sidelines during the game? I haven't seen Seymour, Chad Jackson, Troy Brown, or Bam on the sidelines and was wondering.
No, Bubba Ventrone will be sitting next to me as we eat right before the game.
You got a crush on that guy, don't you?
Yes. He's my guy. He gives me all the inside dope.
Now you screwed it for him.
No, maybe I know things about the Jets that you don't know, Fred. Maybe I talked to him today.
All right. Dave from
Doubtful.
Dave is from Storrs, Connecticut. I can't wait for Friday. I really want to hear Felger and Fred fight again.
Me too.
Fred was like a little kid, and Felger was the big bully. It made Perillo versus Kirsch look like a joke. It was a great week of radio all in all, and you guys definitely cheered me up in the wake of the Spygate incident. Anyway, what do you think of Chad Jackson's opportunity to come back and contribute this year? I heard that his rehab has gone pretty well. Do you think Moss can help him learn how to use his natural abilities?
Now we're looking at Moss as a mentor?
And I'm not saying this in a negative way, so I don't want people to think I'm being negative. I don't think Randy Moss is a mentor, and I don't think he wants to be.
And he can't be, because you know why? Because he's special.
Yeah.
Remember they used to say that Ted Williams was a terrible
right.
hitting coach
That's
and manager?
Right.
Because things that were so easy to him, he could not right. convey to these guys who don't have one-tenth the talent he does.
Right. He doesn't have to run precise routes. He has to do is go out and be on the field. And to me,
and that's not what you want him telling Chad Jackson.
Right. He seems to me like a guy who likes to be by himself, kind of. I mean, he jokes around with some of the guys, but
Stallworth and he seem to be getting along
well. Yeah, but I think he's here for business. Like, I really believe – I think that's why he's going to – I always thought he was going to have a great season. I think he's here to prove a point and to win a Super Bowl, and that's why when people ask now, are they going to sign him long-term, I cringe a little bit, because if they win that Super Bowl ring this year, do you want Randy Moss coming back on this team?
Nope.
Not as focused. You know what I mean? Now you're playing with fire a little bit.
Let's see, Gary.
Fred, would you re-sign him?
I'd have to think about it.
I wouldn't.
Depends on the terms, I guess.
Well, yeah, if he just wants to lay down and say, I'll play for $500K a year and you can – But I'm guessing when he has 75, 80 catches minimum with 1,000 yards and a bunch of touchdowns.
If he's willing to have, you know, if there's outs that I can, you know, take advantage of.
So the answer is no, you don't want to re-sign him.
I just have to. I'd
you just said you want to take advantage of the guy. He's carrying your offense and you want to take advantage of him.
I'd have to, you know, go in with both eyes open.
I don't think he's going to be taken advantage of. So you know what I look for? Opening night next year, he can play for another team, come to Foxborough so they can give out rings or whatever the heck they want to do, and that's as far as this goes. Because I wouldn't re-sign him.
You know where he's playing next year.
At all.
Tennessee. Vince Young.
So bring Tennessee. Vince Sanity. Bring Vince in here.
That's what Vince Young needs, is someone like that that he can actually throw the football to.
Yeah, but Moss will get pissed at him at some point when the ball is nowhere near
where it's
supposed to
work. I just
Gary's from Syracuse. What do you think will hurt the Pats more, the first draft choice taken away or the second and third? Not that it matters. I think the Patriots
first.
Are a lock for the playoffs if no injuries.
First
by far, because when you have two first, you can do anything you want in the draft.
Yeah.
But even if you just have one, let's look at their track record. They've been pretty gosh darn good in the first round. It's a pretty impact player.
Do you think the running game might be the Pats' weakness, or do you think they just haven't got to it yet in the first two games?
Well, to be honest, they run the ball pretty well.
They had 140 yards.
You know what the problem is, Fred? What? No spectacular runs. They're all
right.
The longest
right.
runs have been like 11
right.
yards.
And I was telling Andy, I said, you know, I think, and I know what they're doing with Maroney, but I think if they gave Maroney 25, 30 carries a week,
he might break one.
He would have had over 100 yards
right.
per game.
No, but they've actually been running the ball pretty well. They've had a nice balanced
yeah.
offense. It's just mm-hmm. that it's not spectacular. Like, the passing game
right.
is spectacular right,
right
now. The running game just kind of 4, 5, 6 yards
right.
here. But that's all they need.
That's all they need, efficient runs. Fred, you're right about Welker. Andy calls Welker a nice little player, but the Patriots' batting average on number two draft picks is less than 500. Chad Jackson, Marquise Hill, Wilson, Bethel Johnson, Deion Branch, he's pretty good. Matt Light's pretty good. Adrian Clem.
Well, I think he's just naming them all, isn't he?
Right. Welker was a known quantity, well worth a number two in my opinion, especially in a bad draft year.
All I said was Fred wanted to compare everything.
No, no.
Yes,
no,
you
no,
did.
No.
Yes, you did.
I said the emailer said he grouped guys who have made huge contributions this year so far.
And then you said.
And Wes Welker is in that group.
He's worth what they gave up to get him. You said
I believe
worth,
that.
Well, I said if we're going to say what value is, if Randy Moss is worth a fourth,
okay.
Then to be worth a second, you got to have about 200 catches.
Is Randy Moss really worth a fourth?
He was.
Because your logic doesn't make sense.
He was this offseason.
You're using flawed logic.
What did they trade for Randy Moss?
And everyone said it was a steal.
Okay, so Fred, you're using my theory.
Why were they the only team that was willing to do it?
That the Raiders should be suspended.
They should. The Raiders should be.
They should be ashamed of themselves.
If I was a Raider fan, I don't know why they have so many fans.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Because they're the team of the decades.
Nick in Vermont says, a couple of thoughts and questions. Fred, Frank, Jake, you called it correctly last week when you said Sunday night would be a bloodbath. The Pats unleashed a total ass-whooping on the Chargers, the likes I've never seen. Good call. Actually, I thought it would be just a – I said bloodbath because I thought it was going to be a real physical game.
It wasn't competitive.
Yeah, but I'll take it. Can you comment on Teddy Bruschi's post-game reactions? I don't think I've ever seen him that emotional before. At times, he looked like he was going to simultaneously cry and start punching out reporters at the same time.
Yes.
That's what Paul thought. Paul thought he was ready to take somebody out back.
Bet it wasn't Paul.
Paul's, yeah, that was strange, the emotion that he unleashed.
I think Teddy's like that. You know, you don't call out his team. You don't call out his teammates. And that's what they felt.
I love Teddy Bruschi.
Do you think, though, of the other players, like maybe Vrabel or other guys that have been around here, when he said what he thought about the logo, when he said, for me, maybe more than anyone, like when I read that in the transcript, I didn't hear him say it. I kind of thought, geez, if I was here for a while, I don't.
Right.
Why does it mean more to you
right.
than
well,
it does to me?
Well,
that's the only thing.
I think what Teddy's saying, he got drafted here. He's never going anywhere. For a long time, up until he had this heart thing, he didn't even have an agent. He trusted this team so much that he negotiated his own contracts.
How's that working out?
he never felt the need to go anywhere. He bleeds Patriot red, white, and blue.
As does Troy Brown.
Right. Troy had some – he would have gone elsewhere, I think, if he could have.
No, he could have. He chose not to.
Well,
he chose to stay here.
But I think you have to understand where Teddy's coming from, you know.
But maybe Teddy wouldn't be good anywhere else. Did you ever think of that?
That
maybe
could
Troy
be.
Brown
maybe
would.
He realizes
and
that.
And I give him credit for that.
Yeah.
And maybe he
realizes that, and that's why he appreciates the team.
I
even
really
more.
Respect guys who see that and say,
yeah, so
I'm not going to be as successful elsewhere. I'll take a little bit less to be good.
There'd
here.
Be a lot of guys on other teams that should have done the same
the
thing.
The example we always use is Reggie Wayne.
Right.
Probably could have been a number one receiver somewhere. He said, you know what? I'll stay here with Peyton Manning
right.
and Marvin Harrison.
I got Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
You know? Let's see. Before Cameragate, I didn't think they could go unbeaten, but now I could actually consider it a possibility. They are
yep.
so mad and have such a chip on their shoulder, I could see it carrying them all the way. They have found the perfect motivation to lay a beating on the rest of the NFL in a way that's never been seen before. They want to kill, maim, and crush their opponents and dance on their graves. As Teddy B alluded to, the Pats are not only playing for themselves, but for past Patriots teams whose success is being questioned. Do you think this fire will remain for the rest of the season, or will it die out?
I think it will die out.
It'll fade.
Yeah, because in a few weeks, no one's going to. You know when it's going to start up again is when they play the Jets here.
Right.
And then they'll beat them by 70 points. There's no question about that. But
I'm not really basing my 16-0 on the fire. I'm basing it on I can't believe how good they've
yeah,
been.
Yeah, I don't think that emotion you saw that night, even Alice, my wife, said they were jumping all over the place.
Right.
She's never saw the team like that. 4 weeks from now, you think Bill's going to give him a speech about Cameragate?
No.
I don't see it.
The reasons I think
they're just damn good.
They're damn good. They're playing better than I
when
thought
they
would
the Colts,
at this point.
Because of what Dungy said. Dungy had some.
Yeah,
some
I'm sure
compared
they
compared him to Bonds.
I'm sure they can take a couple things from what happened and
but
use it.
But the bottom
it.
Line is they're good, and I think they will be bouncing around on one level because I think they're so good. They have so many playmakers. That there's like a competition there, you know, Vrabel and Colvin and Thomas. Who's going to make the plays?
This goes back to my point that I think maybe other than 2001, last year was Bill Belichick's best coaching year. We were sitting there in training camp, and I said, You know, I remember going to the Giants training camp in Albany, and there'd be stars. Where's this? Like, right. Other than like, there's no one here. Remember that last? And now you go and every in the locker room, every time you turn around, there's like a Dallas Thomas and Randy Moss, and it's amazing.
And for the record,
what a difference a year makes.
Spoke with Mike Vrabel today, and somebody asked him if he's more active this year, and he said, "Well, I don't really know what you mean by active." And they followed up, "Just seems like you're doing more." And he said, "Well, I really haven't played outside linebacker in 2 years, so there's not a lot of opportunities." Funny, so a guy playing inside doesn't get opportunities and maybe wasted a little bit. Interesting. Adalys Thomas.
Well, if those opportunities are simply sacks.
Vrabel's a defensive end.
I know.
He's a defensive end playing linebacker.
Guys are wasted at inside linebacker.
Thomas played linebacker in college. It's a different situation. Andy, I think Belichick has proven he knows more than you. We saw Adalys Thomas pick off a pass and run like a gazelle.
But the point is, you can make more plays on the outside.
Thomas is
what's your definition of play? If you're just talking sacks.
Sacks,
yeah.
Forced fumbles, fumbles, recoveries, and interceptions.
What about tackles, interceptions, you know, plug and holes, you know, coverage?
Plug and holes.
Fred, what was the score? 17-0 on that third and one?
Plugging holes?
Yeah, they went to 24.
Right. Right. Say they get that first down and score. All of a sudden, it's 17-7. Chargers got some momentum creep back in. Adalys Thomas said, no, sir. He ended that game right there.
That's right.
That's a play, baby. It's making a play.
Obviously.
I thought that was a more important play than one of Vrabel's sacks that he made.
And that's obvious, too. But we're not comparing those two things. We're comparing what would Adalys Thomas do on the outside.
I don't know. Vrabel leads the NFL in sacks.
I think he'd be a more. I don't think he would if Adalys Thomas was on the outside.
Oh,
I think that guy is
wrong.
A monster. A monster.
You're wrong.
I don't know. I kind of think that
the guy had 11. What did he have last year? 9 or 11 sacks.
11.
He didn't have 42. You make it sound like the guy can't be blocked. He played on a pretty good defense in Baltimore.
Tremendous.
So you're saying put him on the outside, move Vrabel back inside?
Yep.
I think that's a huge mistake.
I
was on
you guys keep saying that Vrabel's better on the outside, okay? Yeah, if he's that much better on the outside, you know, you want your best players on the field at all times,
Fred,
right?
You know what the problem is?
They'd still the both be on the field.
Of intelligence. Him and I used to share the same opinion. I saw the error in my ways, and I moved forward. He sticks
Don't
to
never
that.
Describe yourself as intelligent.
He sticks to his stupid. We were wrong. Vrabel on the outside and Thomas inside is better than Vrabel inside and Thomas on the outside.
I'm
Guaranteed.
Not so sure about that.
Well, okay. Let's see. Tom Brady's availability. This is from Bob and Regina, Saskatchewan. I noticed for 2 weeks in a row that Tom Brady has not appeared at the podium to be questioned on Wednesdays. Is this permanent? Is he being interviewed at his locker instead, or is it because he is flying out to California each week to see his son and thus is not available? In other words, is he becoming more aloof, or is availability to the media this year going to be different than in the past?
He was available today at his locker.
At the locker?
Yeah.
Last week he did not speak with the local media.
Now he was at the locker. He was at the podium, back to the locker. Then they brought him back to the podium last year. Now he's back to the locker. Why is that?
SPR.
But, Fred, the emailer said something I think is interesting. Remember how big the baby thing was a while back? I totally forgot about it. I forgot he had a kid. I think that's what Spygate's going to be in a few weeks, where you just, hey, remember when we were making a big deal about that?
Well, that's assuming something else comes along, though.
Well,
I'm
saying if nothing else comes along and it just dies out.
I think it'll die either way.
Let's see. Peter Northampton, about Rodney's injuries, he said, don't forget that Rodney broke his arm in the Super Bowl against the Panthers. That is another injury that he had, yes. So.
That was
2003.
Yeah, and didn't he play every game in 2004?
He's had a lot of injuries, so.
January 2004.
He gets away.
Yeah, he bought this before then, right?
It was
January of 2004 is the end of the 2003 season.
When did he buy it?
So this was a month before he broke his arm against the Panthers. So he knew he was going to break his arm, so he ordered some HGH just to have it on the side?
Maybe it was like ephedrine. When I heard it was going out of business, I just stocked up. Maybe he was just stocking up.
Or maybe he'd been taking it for a while.
Let's see. Matt from Oregon. I'm sorry if you guys already beat this one to death, but I had to get my 2 cents in. On yesterday's show, Tom said he wants us Pats fans to admit that we'll root for anyone in a Patriots uniform, no matter who they are or how they act. While you're not totally wrong, you have to admit that Randy has been completely walking the straight and narrow since he's gotten here. He's been an excellent teammate, a hard worker, and he's had nothing but good things to say in any interviews. when you had John Hanna on the show a while back, he said that we Pats fans love blue-collar type players, and he couldn't have been more on the button with that comment.
Randy Moss is a blue-collar player.
Randy seems to have reinvented himself as one of those blue-collar type players, and that paired with the phenomenal performances he's been turning in makes it pretty hard not to get behind the guy. By the way, has anyone noticed how much Scalapini sounds like Dr. Drew from Loveline? What's Dr. Drew from Loveline?
I haven't seen that in years.
I remember the show, but yeah. I can't remember a voice from the guy with, it's the guy with glasses, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't put Randy
Gary,
Moss.
Gary, if you have a soundbite from Dr. Drew, then you are the greatest.
I wouldn't put Randy Moss in the blue-collar category. I don't think he's caused any trouble while
Very
he's been here.
To be a Dallas Cowboy.
But blue-collar is Teddy Bruschi.
How did he get blue-collar? By taking training camp off?
See, I think a blue-collar is guys who exceed their talent level. Like, I think Bruschi has to work really – like Wes Welker.
They do
has
more
to
with
work,
less.
Right.
Work really hard. Randy Moss can sleep until noon, show up, and score three touchdowns. He's that good.
Right.
Frank says next Pat's coach will be Bill Cowher.
You guys didn't mention him?
No.
That's a lock.
What do you mean it's a lock? From my understanding, he's a lock to be the Giants head coach.
No, if something more happened, I thought it was hypothetical if Belichick left this
year.
Right.
Then it's a lock, Bill Cowher.
But why wouldn't he go to New York?
Because he'll come here.
Maybe they're offering
more. You ever hear of Tom Brady?
Maybe they're offering more in New York.
They'll offer him enough, and there's a lot more talent here. You're telling me if Belichick were to leave this year, right?
Well, this is clearly the best job in football.
I was going to say, there's not guys lined up out the door. Guys who have jobs right now sending their resume.
They want to come play
here.
It's
like what I do with ESPN.
Let's see. Angus writes in, Manning is allowed to come out of center, but he has to come to a halt before the ball is snapped. He counts as an eligible receiver if he's in motion. Manning is still moving when the edge got the snap, hence the penalty.
Right.
So Manning was moving.
Right. He was stepping to the side so that they could get the snap.
Let's see. Matt is in San Diego. He says he loves the show. He lives out there and is starved for some non-Chargers media. My question is about the return of Rodney Harrison. I know he is eligible to return after week four. Was wondering if you expect him back out on the field starting week five, or will they still start Sanders and slowly work Rodney back in, similar to how Asante didn't start week one? Is there an issue with being in shape versus football shape?
Well, yeah, there's a difference between football shape and being in shape. That's a good question. Whether they would, he's well respected, captain kind of guy. My guess is he won't start the first week.
I think he starts
right away.
Yeah.
Okay. Jennifer writes in. She says, if Belichick were to leave, the only coach I would want is Cowher. This is a man who got to the AFC Championship game with Cordell Stewart under center and won a Super Bowl with Roethlisberger.
It's amazing how the opinions on Cowher go up
and
down.
I thought you guys said Patriot fans hated Cowher.
I don't like Cowher.
They used to always make fun of him.
He's overrated.
That.
Yeah. There you go.
What,
you wouldn't want him?
Nah.
Why?
Eh.
You couldn't come up with
all
anybody
that
else.
Chin, crying on TV.
Did
about
you say his... all that chin?
Yeah.
The crying thing I don't like. Yeah. I don't like my coaches to cry.
No.
Dick Vermeil, not a candidate?
No.
Who else?
I don't know.
You know, Vermeil used to kind of be like Belichick, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he was nuts.
He had a mental breakdown.
He had to walk away.
How funny is that? Like, he used to be that kind of coach. Could you imagine Belichick, like
50 people
years
like
from
us
now,
who were there
like,
for
crying.
The early,
yeah. Like, can you imagine covering the Eagles back then, thinking, oh, God, this Vermeil's a real, you know, and now we're watching him cry.
If you're
every
Robert
time
Kraft
talks.
And Belichick is gone and Jimmy Johnson wants to come back,
2 seconds.
Him? 2 seconds?
Yeah.
2 seconds.
2 seconds.
Yeah. Especially with the talent in place.
He hasn't been out of the game long.
No, you know
long?
What? I'll tell you what. People look at that Miami thing and say, well, he never really did anything. He made one huge mistake there. He didn't cut Marino loose when he first got there. Jimmy Johnson's about running the football and defense. That's what he likes. And he just couldn't get rid of Marino because he was such a god in Miami. And he's admitted this, that he probably should have gone in another direction because he never had the team he wanted.
Right.
But you get Jimmy Johnson, and not only will your talent be upgraded immediately and you already have the best team in football, but the guy can coach, and he surrounds himself with good people, too. So I'd take him in a second.
And he wears those nice flowered shirts on draft day.
He's never going to coach again.
You don't think so?
No,
I don't think so either.
He's so happy with what he's doing.
Let's see. A few points from Matt from Springfield. Sorry if this offends, but just something that's been on my mind for a while. One of you guys
please send Craig from Carolina or whatever his name is a copy of The Man Rules. I just can't believe he went on to that length to hear Asante Samuel's masculine voice. I would have more respect for him if he said he something to Whoopi Goldberg. I can't say it. I guess I could, but I don't know. Hey, man. Yeah, that's it. Google Jenna Jameson, heck, even Mother Teresa before you track down a freaking man that you never knew. He is the real-life Stan from the Eminem song. And, hey, that'll be a good soundbite every time he comes on. Okay, enough on him. I don't agree with Goodell by basically threatening the Pats on national TV. Tell Belichick, not the whole world, when you hear the name Goodell, you automatically think of stern discipline. It is not accepted in the eyes of society if a mother or father is thought of in the same way. Indeed, he is the leader of the NFL, Goodell. Ha! He should change his name to Badell. Well, okay. I don't know. He doesn't like Goodell going on national TV and acting like a tough guy.
He was just following up when he was a tough guy.
Speaking of Craig, South Carolina, here's the next email.
Oh.
I thought it's something, though, when you're an emailer and you can elicit emails from other emailers.
You've arrived.
You've arrived.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's not good.
I thought this entire video case was over with, but now the NFL is investigating how somebody in the NFL leaked a copy of it to NBC. Actually, it was Fox. Just for fun, consider
and
the
according
following.
To Fred, it's not somebody, it's the Jets.
It's the Jets. I know this is pie-in-the-sky stuff, but according to CSI, once the chain of evidence is broken,
CSI.
All evidence is therefore tainted and deemed inadmissible. The NFL at this point has no idea when they lost track of the video or when, who, or how somebody made a copy of it. Do you think any of the media will pick up on this and question whether or not the tape should be considered? If somebody can get their hands on it long enough to make copies of it, who says they didn't have time to edit it or switch it out altogether? Andy.
Yes.
Welker is very good. Every time we played Miami, he ran all over us. He's a good player who, while not a star, is yet another solid team role player.
That's not really
That's
true.
What I said. A but nice little player. A solid team role player is perfect. Not including him in the same breath as Randy Moss and Adalys Thomas.
We looked up the games he played against New England. He didn't. Most a lot of times, the second game against New England, he had one catch for minus 1 yard.
You guys are just determined to
discredit
this guy.
No, I'm just all I'm doing is saying
you're looking
that,
up. You're worse than me looking at injury reports for ex players.
See, you know what?
Ex-Patriots.
I didn't really hate the guy, but Fred, you're making me hate him. So just shut up.
That's true.
Why? Because I think he's going to be a solid contributor this year.
No, I never disagreed with
that. No one ever did.
And that's all I ever said. And Paul jumped down my throat.
Well, take it up with
Paul.
Take it up with Paul. All we said was that they may have overpaid when they got him, but once he was here, he was going to be a very good contributor for this team and was going to make a lot of plays for this team.
And all I said was he didn't kill the Patriots every single time.
And Paul thinks he stinks.
He does.
And all I said today was don't put him in the same breath as Adalys Thomas and Randy Moss, two freak athletes.
Let's see. Louis says he was misinterpreted in his last email. He said he wanted to know our opinion on whether a team should play their starters when the playoff picture is already set.
I don't remember the original email.
I don't either. by the way, what was Chad Johnson thinking when he leaped into the stands of that crappy place? Have
we're
you ever been there?
Just now.
And what is the scariest place to play on the road? Is it Oakland or was it the Old Vet?
I've never been to the Old Vet, but I think Oakland.
Either.
The Old Vet was terrible. I mean,
I've been to the Vet.
I pulled a hamstring. I was just walking on that carpet. I wasn't doing anything. It's a terrible.
But he's talking about the fans and
the fans.
Oakland's pretty scary.
Oakland's scary.
They warn you not to wear Patriots logo and stuff.
The Vet is kind of their bark is worse than their bite.
Right.
I've been there. I won't tell you what I was wearing, but they didn't have nothing for me.
Always
nothing. They didn't have nothing.
Oh, did you? We got an email absolutely ripping fans here. A Chargers fan that came to Boston for the weekend.
Oh, because they were saying LT sucks?
No, because they were, like, threatening the person, the actual fan.
You watch Patriots today from over the weekend, and there was a San Diego Charger fan with a San Diego Charger shirt in the midst of Patriots fans, and they were all having a great time.
And by the way, they're real and they're spectacular.
I'm sure if this Charger fan had a problem, he was probably creating it.
I don't think so.
He's probably looking for trouble, like Tom was when he was wearing his Cowboys shirt.
It's funny you should say this, Fred, because I was here many years ago when Parcells was the coach with a Chargers fan when the Chargers beat them. Do you remember that game, Fred? Here, I think the Patriots went to the Super Bowl that year. Paul would remember when they had Tony Martin, the Chargers did. The Chargers
Terry Glenn had a big game.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah. I know the Chargers had a kickoff return or something for a touchdown, and my buddy was just cheering, and someone was like starting to cause trouble, so I had to of course grab him by the neck and that shut him up. But he wasn't doing anything wrong, just cheering for his team. So I think it can happen anywhere. But I agree with Andy, from what I've heard, the Raiders are the worst because they just whoop on you if they're in a bad mood. But
I think they're funny, too, because there's nothing better in this world than seeing, like, a three-year-old dressed up with those spikes on and, like, the bandana. It's funny. But sad on some level,
I also agree with
funny.
Fred. I think, plus, it matters where you're sitting. There's always idiots no matter where
you are. No matter where you are. In any
stadium. Think, this crowd, I don't think, is that bad from what I've seen and
heard.
Not
as bad as the old days, I don't think.
Well, I remember being at a 49ers game and rooting for the Patriots, and quiche was thrown at me. Pieces of quiche.
Next email, thank you.
Charles from Baltimore says, "I think Morris and Evans give us best chances for. I think Morris and Evans gives us our best chances for positive yardage on first down. When you're up by 24 in the fourth quarter, anyone looks like a great runner. I still think Maroney is dancing and looking too much.
Evans,
Yeah. Maybe he's just not as tough or savvy as the others.
Evans,
Did anyone see Maroney put his head down and take two guys five yards in that game?
You cannot question Maroney's toughness. If you want to say he dances a little bit too much in the backfield, I can buy that. But when that guy's in the open field, he puts his shoulder down and he's looking to hurt somebody.
It's the same thing. He looks for big plays.
The whole he looks good when they're up by 24? Yeah, you described Heath Evans. That's the only time he plays.
I've never seen Heath Evans look good. No offense, Heath.
Josh from Arlington says, Fred, don't waste your time on Andy with the Welker argument. Andy looks foolish by being bullheaded so often he can't possibly recognize it anymore. Welker is exactly what the Patriots had bargained for, and it's unrealistic to compare the trade values of he and Moss, as Welker was playing very well last year and Moss was playing like SH, you know what. One was a flyer on a possibly washed-up player, and the
Sugar
other
honey,
was
ice
a trade
tea.
For legitimate lower-end, top-tier performer at wideout.
Lower-end, top-tier?
Hindsight
how many ways are we going to characterize it?
Hindsight is 20/20, but at the time, it was impossible to know what Moss would do. So there.
I think, but
fans, once again, come to my defense.
Because you're one of them. I just think I've been pretty consistent. I thought they got a steal for Moss, and I think they got robbed a little bit for Welker.
You know what we need here? We need a good three-game losing streak so the fans turn on Fred like they did before.
See, if I said that, people would really yell at me for years.
I'm saying things are so good right now that Fred can do no wrong.
Right.
Hey, you know, a lot of people, Tom, complimented you on your response and asked PFW to the guy that was whining about, what am I going to tell my kids?
Oh.
And someone here copied and pasted your response and all that. But now he's saying, and I guess this is to Chris, I can't find the link anywhere on Patriots' website. Did Patriots.com pull this issue, or is it fake? Maybe I'm just not very good at surfing. And
it's just the website.
Actually, someone took that question and answer and posted it on another site, which was, what's the site? PatriotsDaily.com. Have you seen that site? Gonna have to shut
it really
down.
Does work. You serve them what they want and they eat it up, Tom. You are incredible.
No,
it's amazing when you don't say what you think and you just give them what
down.
They want to hear.
No,
it just got buried on the page.
It might be, but
that's what happens to stories
on
Patriots.com.
I'm sick and tired of these fans writing in asking what I should tell my kids, blah, blah, blah. Here's an idea. Be a parent. The youth of America is looking to Bill Belichick on how to act. If that's the case, you're a bad parent. Seriously.
And this country's screwed.
Listen, I was a kid. I was a fan. No one was a bigger football fan growing up than I was when I was a kid. I didn't sit there and look to the head coach and say, boy, that's my idol. Look at the players. Give me a break. That's all grandstanding garbage.
I like what your response. Should I read your response?
I think I just said it.
This guy goes on to,
Now reading Tom his own response?
What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, this is terrible, terrible, terrible. And Tom launches into him.
I got to say, I take a pounding.
He says, Kevin, I mean no disrespect to you personally. I posted your email because we have received others that are similar. So in my response, I'm speaking to everyone, not just you.
But
out of the way, that's enough of this grandstanding garbage.
Now what he just said. He really did just say it.
Now
we don't need it.
Now Bill Belichick has to raise your kids too?
Oh, my God.
All right. I won't read the whole thing, but you get the point.
Yeah, I got the point when Tom said it.
All right.
I was listening.
It just, you know...
He just can't stand to have the spotlight away from him.
I know.
You're the one who just said, I think I just said it.
All right.
Holy crap.
As I was reading it, Tom said the line verbatim.
Yes.
No, because I also said, what's next? Tom Brady has to put your kids through college? I didn't say that on the air. So you're taking away some of the
ambience. I guess that one line you left out.
But anyway, Ask PFW is still up there. There's
somewhere.
A new way of... Just
press F5.
Click those little pictures,
and you'll find it.
Or it's
the best
buried.
Is go sell crazy somewhere else. We're all stocked up here.
Right.
What? See, Andy, there was a bunch of good stuff in that thing.
I know. Go sell Andy crazy? Doesn't want anyone else to be talked about here.
That's not what I said.
It's what you implied.
I didn't imply anything.
You're making my point.
Alex says, hello, Fred, Andy, Paul, Gary, Tom, John. I think I'm missing someone. Mustn't be someone important. let's see. What is the idea when Vegas sets lines with half points? For the example, the Eagles are 6.5-point favorites over the Lions, and the over-under is 44.5.
So you can't win if it's on if you go, lands on six.
So there's no ties.
Yeah, there's no ties. The worst ones are obviously 7.5 and 3.5. At that point, people should buy down. You can buy half points and get down to 7 or 3.
By the way, do you hear about the early number in the Patriots-Bills game?
17, isn't it?
Yeah. 16.5, 17.
Yeah.
That's I thought he was going to say the Colts game that you emailed.
Oh, that's what I thought. That's where I thought he was
69.
Going.
That's unbelievable. Huh?
Yeah. Well, guess what? If they whoop on the Bills and beat the Bengals, what do you think it's going to be when Cleveland comes here?
Cleveland's looking, you know, they can score some points now all of a sudden.
Against Cincinnati.
Against Cincinnati.
We'll see how it goes.
So I don't know.
And it was one game.
I was just saying to Andy, I was looking at the slate of games. There's some tough calls this week because I don't know who's who.
Well, yeah, it's only week three. It hasn't really shaken out
yet. But there's
yet.
Some real hard decisions to make this week.
Patriots, Bills.
I didn't know you were home studying.
I just looked at
he
it.
He isn't really, because I said, like, what? And he goes, I don't know.
I was on NFL.com, and, on the top they have all the matchups.
Well, you know what's tough is, like, you got 2-0 teams like the Broncos and 49ers who haven't really played well
right.
but are 2-0.
Right.
And then you got a couple teams that are 0-2 that have kind of played well but haven't won,
right.
So it's tough.
Let's see. Josh in Jacksonville says, last Sunday I was flipping between multiple NFL games via NFL Sunday Ticket. Most of the time, all the games usually go to halftime around the same time. I was wondering, how do the networks tailor each halftime report to the teams that they are covering for each region? Do you know if they tape it earlier and just air it? Kind of off the subject, but just curious. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, no idea.
That's what, you know what they do? They'll be like, sometimes if you'll notice halftime, you have a long commercial break. What they do is there's certain games that go to half together, and they try to get all those games into one halftime, and then they start taping it. And then if a one runs longer, they start playing the tape over again. Or if one just runs really long, they'll do it live again. I think that's pretty much how they do it.
Okay.
Because I asked that question once because I had the same. It's weird because they're all different times.
What'd you ask?
I think they I emailed somebody.
Oh, God, you are such a loser.
I think they try to get as
P.S.
many as they can.
Do you have any openings? Gary from Syracuse, do you guys think that other coaches are not going to like Mangenius in him ratting on another coach, or do you think they don't care? Or maybe they have cliques like everywhere other business where
that
some
one.
Will and some won't.
That one, the third one.
Yeah, probably.
There's people who hate Belichick who probably calling Mangini and saying good job, and there's people who really uphold that coaching thing, the old-time guys who are probably saying what a rat.
You got to read that New York Times article today. Pretty good.
They rip Mangini?
Yeah.
New York Press. Can we just have them here for a week? The first day this came out, they were killing Belichick. Then they got bored with that, and they just turned and went on to Mangini, and now they're killing him.
Well, he's 0-2. If he was 2-0, it'd be
exactly.
All different.
Right.
Scott says...
That's a good point with the age, too. Like, say Mangini gets fired, and Rob Ryan gets a job somewhere else. You don't think Lane Kiffin's going to say... Eric Mangini's a pretty good defensive coach.
Yeah.
I'll hire him.
Right.
I mean, there's a new generation there. So it's, maybe some old school guys or Belichick buddies wouldn't do it. But there's always going to be guys looking for coaches who aren't necessarily aligned to anyone, younger guys.
Yeah. Did you hear what your boy Rex Ryan said? He basically said what we were saying. He's like, I'm just sick of all this technology crap, and you got to hide this and hide that. I just want a game plan for football. Let's just go out there and play football. See, that's what I like. Let's just
Me too.
Play football. I'm sick of all this
I
garbage.
Like that Ryan family.
Scott's from North Carolina. He says also Cower would be his pick, and he says, P.S. ain't buying you no food.
That's well said.
We ain't reading you no email anymore.
That's the last time we'll get your email on the air.
All right, let's do some quick over-under. John Rooks here. Maybe he can do it as well.
Yeah.
You want to play?
Let's go.
All right, over-under. Pat's rushing yards. This is for next week, I guess. 150.
Over
150.
Over.
Brady's passer rating, 110.
Under. Yeah, I'll say under, too.
Brady's TDs, 3.
Under.
Ground attack this week.
Over.
Yeah, but then they get close and he'll pass.
What about if it's the same? What if it's? Can you? It has to be over
you
or
can
under.
Say a push.
Yeah.
Or can you say push?
Well, I guess
we usually don't, John. We like to pick a side here.
Okay, under.
All right, Brady's interceptions 1.5.
Under.
Okay, Bill's points 12.
Under.
Maroney rushing yards over. 80.
Over.
Yeah, I'll go over.
Bill's total offense 190 yards.
I'll say a little bit over.
Over. That's a good number.
They'll be getting whooped late in the game.
Okay, Pat's total offense 420.
Over.
Days until we hear how video was leaked to Fox when it was supposedly under lock and key by the NFL 7.
Zero. Fred just said it. It's the Jets. Fred Kirsch on the record that the Jets are the where that tape came from.
Yeah, the culprit.
Wouldn't shock me in
but
the
see,
least.
No,
he's saying it like he really knows that it's
what happened is, and here's what happened.
You know how he talks to those people named Kraft?
What happened is the leak is someone from the league, but they gave it to the Jets. Oh. And then the Jets gave it to Fox. That's how it worked.
Yeah, I believe that.
The route, I mean, first of all, Jay Glazer's from New York. He worked in FAN. He's a New Yorker. He knows all those guys in the office.
Is he a New York fan?
He used to have a show on FAN.
Oh.
You know, so I don't know if he's a New York fan, but he's all about New York. You know, he knows people in the Jets. All right.
I detected a small amount of disdain.
Fred doesn't like Jake Glazer.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Rat Fink.
What did he do?
Anyway, how you doing, John?
I'm excellent, Fred.
How was your
Better
day?
Better than you, I guess, right now. Huh?
How was your day yesterday?
Day was excellent yesterday.
Yeah?
We had a good day yesterday. Got in a lot of emails. Thanks.
Good.
It was great. Had some good push. I actually have a question that I'm going to kind of throw out for the listeners today, because I assume you guys read John Tomasi today in the Herald. Did you see him in the Herald?
Which one?
His notebook.
The HGH?
No.
Oh.
It was a story in particular about how he thought that this Patriots offense should have a name.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like Eric Coryell and all that stuff. I think that's a good topic. I think we need to put out for there to see if there's a name for this offense, seeing as potentially it could.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Be a pretty good one. What do you think?
So we have to come up with a name for the Patriots
offense. Come up with a name?
How about Air Belichick?
No. But I'm, kind of a cute little marketing thing, Fred. Maybe you can sneak into PFW one of these days,
Okay. How about we'll just start using it like it's out there.
Right.
Just use it like everybody's using it.
Well, we'll give somebody some credit here. So let's go. Let's get some real thought processes going on here,
I got nothing.
Okay.
You got nothing off the top of your head? I'll guarantee you somebody's got something out there.
Yep. You can email that to John and his upcoming show, Patriots Playbook, webradio@patriots.com.
Thank you.
Emails coming. And, something along like Gathering Moss or something like that.
The question is it Moss? Is it Brady?
No, it's got to be the offense.
It has to be something that's all-encompassing. Yeah. I mean, you wanted to call it like Moss's Raiders, just, for whatever reason, I mean, that's fine. That's an okay suggestion. But you want to try to make it as encompassing as possible.
It's the Brady Bunch.
That's the obvious one.
Okay.
Brady Bunch.
Eric Coryell was because Don Coryell was an innovator, and a lot of that was his stuff.
Correct.
No one here is innovating anything. It's just an offense. So.
It's an offense that has a lot of movable,
yes.
A lot of productive pieces to it.
See, I'm no good at this kind of stuff. Andy can tell you that, like coming up with names. But I think something along the lines of something in the versatility
thing. How about
thing.
Josh Bagosh?
Because they can do anything. No. They can line up and they can pound it. They can throw it deep. They can throw it short.
That's why I wanted to ask the question, to see if someone could actually come up with a two- or a three-word phrase that describes this offense.
Unstoppable.
That would be a good one, too.
Okay, well,
that's Patriot. Three syllables, Andy.
Now we know why you're not in marketing.
You've been given your assignment by Professor Rook.
There you go.
Webradio@patriots.com. His show is coming up right after these messages. We'll see you tomorrow here in PFW in Progress.
That puts the wraps on another PFW in Progress.
Well, come on, guys. We gave it our best.
Wow. That was your best?
Patriots.com radio.